1895, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Our elderly, they're not just people that are older. They're grandmothers that share their secret recipes. The grandpa that tells heartfelt stories of a much more simpler time. They're our living link to the past and a vital part of our future. While most are cherished, sadly, many are abused. Shining Care is providing an opportunity for our community to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older persons by raising awareness and providing invaluable information during the free webinar on June 26th, 11 a.m. to 1:30, featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood and an interactive panel of local experts and officials. Topics including tips on elder abuse prevention for people of all ages, how to reduce the risk of elder abuse culled from his extensive criminal prosecution of felony elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation, plus info on COVID-19 scams, self-isolation with an older adult loved one, and the pent-up frustrations, and much more. Registration at shiningcare.org/events or 232-5543. Sponsored by PS2 Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, Cornerstone Community Bank, My Umbrella Marketing, and Marquis Shasta.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing process. Those are scary words like edit and read and show versus tell. In July, we take a look at marketing and how you can make money with your books.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book, now is the time to check us out. Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
For example, there's been talk in Massachusetts about reopening with full course load. In Fairfax, Virginia, however, Fairfax, Virginia, that county has already announced that they're only going to go 2 days per week of school. I know that in my child's school, what they've been talking about is all the kids coming back, but the kids being forced to sit at little cubicles and not eat lunch together. And they're supposed to be taking their food from different sort of little cubby holes and their work from different cubby holes. So they're not sharing any of the pens, any of the erasers, any of the markers and all this. Honestly, they're children. I don't understand how that's going to work. Like, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for that to be workable. I think there are going to be serious questions to be asked about whether reopening the school is even possible if COVID-19 continues to be resurgent this way. Now, there's some good news about COVID-19, and that is the CDC says that COVID-19 cases in the U.S. may be 10 times higher than reported. The estimate comes from a nationwide look at antibody tests. Now, why is that good news? Well, the reason that's good news is because if not that many people are dying, but tons of people are infected, that means the infection fatality rate of this thing is a lot lower than originally supposed. Remember, originally, the infection fatality rate was calculated by the WHO at like 3.5%, meaning out of 100 people, 3.5 died. And then the CDC last month announced that they thought the actual infection fatality rate was 0.26, meaning that out of every 10,000 people, 26 people died, which is a lot lower, right? A lot lower. And then they are now suggesting that maybe for every case that's reported, there are actually 10 other infections, which would mean that it's quite possible that the actual infection fatality rate looks more like the flu. It's just way, way more transmissible than the flu. The flu has a reproduction rate of a little below 2, is my understanding. The reproduction rate on this virus, if left unchecked, is well above 3. So that means, like, if everybody in the country got the flu, more people would die of the flu, even if the flu were just the flu. Well, it's possible that's actually what we're seeing right here. It does hit different populations in different ways, by the way. Obviously, for young people, it is significantly less deadly than the flu. If you're younger, the age of 25, by all statistics, it's less deadly than the flu. If you're over the age of 25, it's a multiple of how deadly the flu is, depending on, again, how many outstanding untested cases you believe there are. According to NBC News, the assessment comes from looking at blood samples across the country for the presence of antibodies to the virus. For every confirmed case of COVID-19, 10 more people had antibodies, Redfield said, referring to proteins in the blood that indicate whether a person's immune system has previously fought off the coronavirus. The samples aren't just from people who have had antibody testing. They also come from testing performed on donated blood at blood banks or from other laboratory testing of blood. Currently, there are 2.3 million COVID-19 cases reported in the United States. The CDC's new estimate pushes the actual number of coronavirus cases up to at least 23 million. So there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that if you get it and it turns out that lots of people are asymptomatic, then that means that maybe the chances aren't that great that you die, which is fantastic news, right? You get it, it's not a death sentence. On the other hand, if it's really transmissible, that means that there's a better chance that you are going to get it and experience that risk in your life. Redfield said the virus causes so much asymptomatic infection, the traditional approach of looking for symptomatic illness and diagnosing it obviously underestimates the total number of infections. On Thursday, the CDC expanded its list of who is at greatest risk for COVID-19 complications, removing the age cutoff of 65. Dr. Jay Butler, the head of the COVID-19 response at the CDC, said there's not an exact cutoff of age at which people should or should not be concerned. He said, rather, a person's risk increases with age, but that does not preclude younger adults from complications. Indeed, people of any age with underlying health conditions have a higher risk, obviously. CDC also clarified other conditions that might increase a person's risk of severe illness. That includes asthma, high blood pressure, neurologic conditions like dementia, cerebrovascular disease, such as stroke and pregnancy. The CDC is incentivized, by the way, to be extremely careful about this sort of stuff. So that means that if you have high blood pressure, it's not going to be quite as deadly as if you have like type 2 diabetes or something. So lumping it all together is a little bit inaccurate. But the bottom line is that when you look at the rate of death from the behavior, that is the rates of death from the behavior may be a lot lower than originally suspected. That does not mean that the danger is gone, obviously, or that the virus is not dangerous, obviously. And again, we still don't know how many people are asymptomatic. Very difficult to test for people who are asymptomatic, except with sort of broad scale antibody testing. And we still don't know, by the way, if the antibodies are truly protective, which is a serious problem, right? I mean, if you get the antibodies, it's not necessarily guaranteed that there's not going to be a second reinfection. People get the flu every year, and then the next year they get the flu again. So there's still a lot of open questions about all of this. Now, we're going to get to the political side of this, which is really stupid and really ugly, but that's our time, stupid and ugly. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let's talk about the fact that you're spending an awful lot of time with media right now, and that's why you need a great pair of wireless earbuds. Everybody does. You don't need the earbuds that have the cords attached to them that tangle up every time you put them in your pocket? You already know that Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, those are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you that nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are really comfortable, perfect for conference calls, video chats, binging podcasts. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. No dangling wires, no stems, and they fit your ear perfectly. Unlike some of these other earbuds that are one size fits all, not so with Raycons. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's BUYRAYCON.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out. Right now, they come in a variety of colors with a variety of fits, so they will fit your ear perfectly and sound fantastic. A lot cheaper than the other options on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. Hey, so here's where it gets really, really stupid. The media have decided they're really going to cover in large scale only Texas, Florida, and Arizona. California just is not going to get the same kind of coverage. So California, which again is experiencing a massive resurgence of COVID-19 right now. And California, which was locked down heavily, it still is locked down heavily. Like, you can't go to a restaurant in California right now. If you try to go to a restaurant in California, they basically just reopened in the last couple of weeks. Many restaurants still have not fully reopened because they can't actually fulfill all of the basic prerequisites for reopening. Major businesses are still not open in places like Los Angeles. Los Angeles has been very slow to come around on this thing. Over the past few weeks, really since the protests, you started to see LA open up a lot more and California open up a lot more. And it is perfectly obvious that everybody was basically abiding by the stay-at-home orders until these massive protests broke out and the entire media infrastructure decided that you were immune to COVID if you went out to a major protest. And then precisely 2 weeks later, exactly as everybody suspected, you started to see this massive uptick in places like California. Now, everyone wanted to blame that on Memorial Day, but Memorial Day happened May 25th. Protests started May 26th. So it's really, really difficult to suggest that it was just Memorial Day and not, you know, the obvious problem of hundreds of thousands of people out in the streets in America's major cities. So California's been really hard hit in this resurgence. There are states like Idaho that have been very hard hit in the resurgence. Washington State, which, as I say, was a starter state for this thing, has been very hard hit in the resurgence. But the media have decided they're only going to cover Abbott and DeSantis. They're going to cover Greg Abbott in Texas. Texas has now paused reopening as hospitals have been inundated with, quote, an explosion of COVID-19 cases. Officials in Texas yesterday reported 47 more deaths, nearly 6,000 infections, a, quote, unquote, grim new daily record. Now, worth noting, New York State yesterday still recorded, I believe, more deaths than that. So New York is supposed to be in the downswing of this thing. And they are. But even in their downswing, they're recording more deaths on a daily basis than, I believe, either Texas or Florida. If not more, then absolutely in the same ballpark. The governor of Texas hit the brakes on reopening his state Thursday as hospitals were inundated with an explosion of COVID-19 cases, according to NBC News. The last thing we want to do as a state is go backwards and close down businesses, Governor Greg Abbott said in a statement. This temporary pause will help our state corral the spread until we can safely enter the next phase of opening our state for business. Abbott urged all Texans to do their part to slow the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask, washing their hands regularly, socially distancing from others. He said the more we all follow these guidelines, the safer our state will be, the more we can open up Texas for business. Now, that makes perfect sense. Again, I've been saying for a long time, if you want the economy to be reopened, then put on a mask. Like, seriously, slow the spread of the thing. Make sure the elderly aren't being killed. The question is what good policy looks like here. Here's what good policy looks like to me. And I've been saying this literally for months. Protect the elderly and the vulnerable, particularly at the nursing homes where a disproportionate number of deaths have taken place. Wear a mask if you are in a public place where this thing is easily transmitted, and socially distance if you can. That's pretty much all you can do. Those are all the things. There are no more things than that. You know, and limit giant public gatherings, obviously, because giant public gatherings are where these things spread and where people tend to take off the masks and where, by the way, masks don't reduce risk to zero. If you're wearing a surgical mask, you might reduce the risk by 30-40%, as Dr. Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins University said, but you're not going to reduce the risk by 100%. But a lot of people reducing it by 30-40% is definitely a good thing. Texas Medical Center in Houston has reported all of its ICU beds are now occupied. So Houston has been particularly hard hit. The United States saw a record number of new coronavirus cases in a single day, 45,557 reported on Wednesday, according to a tally by NBC News. Southern and western states like Arizona and Florida that began aggressively reopening around Memorial Day are now seeing staggering spikes that make clear the deadly virus is showing no signs of going away. Now, this is where the media's coverage bias starts to come in. Okay, the reality is a lot of these states started opening before Memorial Day. A lot of these states started opening like mid-May, and they didn't see a spike. In fact, everybody was sort of puzzled. Why aren't we seeing a spike? And the answer was that people were going about their business, but they were being responsible in how they went about their business. In fact, I'm going to look it up right now. When did Florida reopening? I want to actually see the calendar. So the original reopening, let's see. Florida reopened certain businesses through much of the state May 4th. Right? Starting May 4th, restaurants were allowed to offer outdoor seating with 6-foot spaces between. So they started their reopening May 4th. Nothing for a month. Then massive protests suddenly resurgent. Don't tell me it was Memorial Day. Okay, when you start reopening at the beginning of May, And there are other states that did this too, right? Georgia started reopening beginning of May. No massive resurgence. Giant protests. Massive resurgence. They're going to try and put it on the reopening as opposed to, like, people who are attending restaurants and sitting 6 feet apart from each other as opposed to, you know, giant protests where people are up on each other yelling and spitting. And by the way, the yelling and spitting is a key thing here, right? One of the chief vectors of the spread of COVID-19 is projection. This is why churches have been a place where people are getting very sick, because if you go to a church and everybody's singing together, when you sing, and you aerosolize a lot of the particles in your body, a lot of your spit, and then it goes in the air, and then lots of people can get infected. But again, the media are focusing only in on Florida and Arizona. They're trying to blame Republicans for this, is the bottom line. Buried way down in the article is California, which was among the first to put in place a statewide lockdown, has also been reporting record numbers of new cases, many of them young people. And there was no evidence yet that the Black Lives Matter protests that swept the nation after the police killing of George Floyd were fueling the sudden rise. Okay, so you're going to have to explain why California, which has been completely locked down but allowed massive protests, is also seeing a significant spike. Where was the other giant public activity? It did not exist. I'm from L.A. No one was going out of their house. Then L.A. was locked down during curfew. And then, shockingly, the cases rise. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said it's important for the American people to know this is a localized situation. It's not everywhere. Right? It's in certain places particularly. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, he said, we reopened against the backdrop of a lot of persistent spread in those states. It's inevitable the cases were going to go up. I think they've gone up more than most people expected. I've certainly been surprised by the acceleration in the cases as well. I think most of us were. In Texas, Dr. Faisal Mazoud, the medical director of critical care medicine at Houston Methodist Hospital System, said they were managing for now, but, quote, if this trajectory is what it was the last 10 days when we literally had a tripling of our cases, we can't do that for a couple of weeks at all. He said, this isn't good. The explosion of patients all across, that explosion has to slow down. One of the things that's happening is people are assuming that all the ICU beds are available for COVID-19. COVID-19 represents about a quarter of the number of people who are in the ICU. People are in the ICU for a number, but like you have a heart attack, you're in the ICU. You don't have COVID-19. And meanwhile, in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo insisted he was serious about enforcing a 2-week quarantine. He and governors of New Jersey and Connecticut want all visitors from current coronavirus hotspot states like Texas, Florida, and Alabama to follow. And this is where we get into the real hardcore media bias. Okay, so we're in a second, we're going to hear the Washington Post try to blame Sean Hannity for the uptick in COVID-19. And we're also going to hear the media try and tout Governors Andrew Cuomo and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, two of the worst governors in America. If you are a governor, there are really only a few things you can do. One is bar large gatherings. Two is you can have a statewide mask mandate, but it's very difficult to enforce. Basically, you rely on the compliance of the American people is all you can really do. And three is you protect your nursing home. Whitmer and Cuomo both shipped old people with COVID-19 back into nursing homes, and they killed like a huge percentage of the old people in nursing homes in their state. And they're being touted by the media because there is now a time delay between when we watch New York get walloped and Michigan get walloped. And now we're supposed to believe that they were great at this, that they did an amazing, amazing job. Because after we lost, what, 25,000 people in New York City, something along those lines, after we lost tens of thousands of people in New York City because Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio are terrible at their jobs, now they're good at their jobs because they're on the other side of the decline. Yeah, you killed off everybody who's vulnerable. Turns out that now the spread isn't as grave in New York as you thought. By the way, my prediction, in the next couple of weeks, because of the protests, you will in fact see a spike in cases in New York as well. I don't think this is going to be restricted to places like Florida or California. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. Coming up, the media are obviously politicizing the situation with COVID. Now it's Sean Hannity's fault that people are dying of COVID. What's the evidence for this? Doesn't really exist, but sure, put it on Sean. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, We are all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are looking for any excuse to blame Republicans for the spread of COVID-19, despite the fact that the biggest spike in America right now is happening in California. By the way, this is why it was political malpractice for the president of the United States to start holding indoor rallies. He should have immediately said, listen, I'm taking this seriously. Look who's not taking this seriously. Everything that happens from here on in, that's on the Democrats who said it was okay to get together in giant, giant groups and scream and yell. It's political malpractice not to have done that, frankly. Okay, so Florida and Texas, acting responsibly, are slowing down the reopening. Ron DeSantis said that he never said when Florida would move to the next phase. He said that South Florida is on its late reopening schedule. Most businesses have resumed in Florida, including bars and nightclubs, with the exception of the hard-hit Miami metropolitan area, but there are still strict capacity limits and other rules as well, which I know about. I mean, these things are accurate. People are not crowding into spaces. People are mostly eating outside. But according to the media, again, the only people to blame here are members of the Republican Party and or conservative members of the media, not Andrew Cuomo suggesting this was not a big deal in early March, not Bill de Blasio telling people to come on down to Chinatown, not Bill de Blasio telling people to go to theaters, everything was all fine, not Nancy Pelosi explaining that everybody should celebrate Chinese New Year's in downtown San Francisco, like none of that. The only people to blame ever are Republicans. There's a piece, an awful piece, in the Washington Post today called New Research Explores How Conservative Media Misinformation May Have Intensified the Severity of the Pandemic. Big emphasis on May. In recent weeks, three studies have focused on conservative media's role in fostering confusion about the seriousness of the coronavirus. Taken together, says the Washington Post, they paint a picture of a media ecosystem that amplifies misinformation, entertains conspiracy theories, and discourages audiences from taking concrete steps to protect themselves and others. The end result, according to one of the studies, is that infection and mortality rates are higher in places where one pundit who initially downplayed the severity of the pandemic, Fox News' Sean Hannity, reaches the largest audience. Hey, the study's awful. Like, I've looked at the study. The study is just garbage. The study basically suggests that they put aside all confounds and then basically suggest that if you watch Sean Hannity, you are more likely to go out and act in an irresponsible way. And there's very, very, like, here's their final conclusion. The authors used anonymous location data from millions of cell phones to explore how the popularity of Fox News in a given zip code related to social distancing practices there. By March 15th, they found a 10% increase in Fox News viewership within a zip code reduced its residents' propensity to stay home in compliance with public health guidelines by about 1.3 percentage points. That's not even close to causality. Do you think that people like spend all day watching Fox News in a county? Like that's all they do? There are no confounding factors there? I'm sorry, this is just absurd. It's plausible, of course, this difference in behavior could be attributed to other characteristics of Fox viewers, such as their age or political ideology. Or the fact that they live, by the way, in more rural areas where people are not as afraid of coronavirus because they don't think they're in a big city. Right? There are plenty of reasons. But it seems to me that New York, Michigan, New Jersey got absolutely walloped by this thing. These are not Sean Hannity centers of gravity. The attempt to paint this as a Sean Hannity problem, I mean, it's truly amazing. And blame it on, it's all Sean's fault. Well, what absolute horse crap. What absolute horse crap. Coming up, Democratic governors, it turns out, did an amazing job, especially according to their brothers on CNN. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hi, this is Frank Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Has had under 2,300 deaths so far. Okay, Arizona, right, another hellscape, completely botched because of terrible, terrible Governor Doug Ducey, has had less than 1,500 deaths so far. But don't worry, Andrew Cuomo is the real hero in this. Here's Andrew Cuomo explaining that it was the Republicans playing politics and they lost. How is it possible that they lost when you're the one who lost almost literally 10 times the number of people in your state with the same population? Explain, Andrew Cuomo, explain.
Look at the numbers. You played politics with this virus and you lost. You told the people of your state and you told the people of this country, White House, don't worry about it. Just open up, go about your business. This is all Democratic hyperbole. Oh, really? Now you see 27 states with the numbers going up. You see the death projections going up. You see the economy going down. It was never politics. It was always science. And they were in denial. And denial is not a life strategy.
Okay, they're in denial, and the denial is not a life strategy. No one's in denial except for you. Okay, you were the one who's shipping people with COVID-19 back into nursing homes and then blaming Trump for it and pretending that it was all about Trump, not telling you the source of the virus was Europe, not China. I mean, like, it's just absurd. It's absurd. And this guy gets played as a person who knows what he's doing. I mean, you want, like, clearest case media bias ever? This is clearest case media bias ever. Okay, other example of media bias today. An insane New York Times profile of Governor Gretchen Whitmer. It's got the photo of her looking off into the distance, this black and white photo of her looking off into the distance from Phil Montgomery. And here's the headline. A governor on her own with everything at stake. From her living room, Gretchen Whitmer has led Michigan through a pandemic, an economic meltdown, and even a dam collapse, all at a time when government itself seems broken. Okay, just going to read you the stats from Michigan. Michigan has over 6,000 deaths. Michigan has over 6,000 deaths. Texas, again, still has less than 2,500. Florida still has less than 3,500. Arizona still has less than 1,500. Her state has 6,000 deaths already. They lost 18 people yesterday in Michigan. And yet she's getting the royal treatment, the absolute wonderful royal treatment in her state. I'm going to need some evidence as to why Gretchen Whitmer, who also, by the way, was shipping people back into nursing homes with COVID-19, which is like the number one thing you do not do, why she is getting this sort of treatment from the mainstream media, other than the media are trying to play up Democrats. Some of the quotes from this thing, I mean, it's like her press office wrote it. The New York Times says, Whitmer is not naturally introspective, recounting the almost incomprehensibly consequential decisions she was making on a daily basis. She rarely lingered on how she felt or the magnitude of the moment. She was more inclined to review events and discuss strategy. approaching it all with the same practical mindset and vocabulary she brought to more manageable government challenges, like fixing potholes. The effect wasn't necessarily stirring. There was no soaring rhetoric about the need to rise to this historic challenge, but it was oddly reassuring. She was channeling panic into process. Oh, what an amazing, amazing person. As the days passed, the decisions facing Whitmer came to seem less complicated. The next time I talked to her, she had just returned from a march through Detroit with a group of local religious leaders. She went with one of her two teenage daughters, who'd been pestering her for days to let her attend a protest. It was a peculiar development, a head of government participating in a protest against the government, but it also made perfect sense in this deeply disorienting moment. "There's a lot of pain across this country," she said when I asked what had inspired her to go to the protest. "This is a righteous cause, and I wanted to be there in person, in the middle of a pandemic, while chiding other people." What a heroine. What a heroine. I mean, just incredible stuff. So I think we can all get the picture here. The picture is very simple. If you're a Republican, you're a bad guy. If you're a Democrat, you're a good guy. All this does translate into some of the national polling that we are seeing right now, amidst all of the chaos on race, which we'll get to in a moment, amidst the fact that this pandemic continues to spread across the country somewhat unabated. The death rates are significantly down, but still, obviously, it's a dangerous virus. People think that, according to particular estimates, there'll be 200,000 people dead by the end of summer, which obviously would be a tragedy of historic proportions. President Trump is down in even the Fox News swing state polls. According to Fox News, President Trump is down 9 in Florida, 49-40. He's down 2 in North Carolina, which he won last time, 47-45. He won all of these states, by the way. Biden is up 2 in Georgia, 47-45. And Biden is up 1 in Texas, according to the Fox News poll. Okay, if those polls are anything close to accurate, then the president's got a serious problem. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is just basically sleeping through this campaign. I mean, really sleeping through it. Where is his great leadership? This isn't about Trump. It's not about Biden's great leadership. This is almost solely about Trump's behavior. Truly. The American people are not willing to undergo a pandemic without leadership. They're not willing to watch statues torn down and the country riven by race riots without any sort of leadership. They're not willing to see republics of Chaz set up without any sort of presidential leadership. This is not about Biden. The way you can tell it's not about Biden is Biden's still ain't cracking 50%. In the national polling, the ones that show him up like 14%, it shows him at like 50 to 36. It's not showing him at 60 to 40. It's not showing him at 60-40. It's not showing him 55 to 40. It's showing him at 49. Right. He's always below 50, which means that this is not about Joe Biden. It is purely about the unpopularity of president. And that makes perfect sense. What Joe Biden right now is showing is that it is very difficult, literally, to beat a dead horse. That's what we're seeing right now. It is almost impossible to beat a dead horse because that's all he is. He's just a stand in for inanimate object. Now, as we're about to discuss, he actually is not an inanimate object. And that's what's dangerous. What makes him a dangerous candidate is the fact that how he acts as president is not going to be anything like the dead horse that he is as a candidate. And he is, you know, obviously not performing as a candidate. People are like, it's a brilliant campaign. No, it's not a campaign at all. He understands that all his campaign has to be is just there. It just has to be breathing. And that's pretty much all you're getting. I mean, even when he's supposed to be speaking about things like COVID, he's just blowing it, right? I mean, he said yesterday that we have 120 million dead from COVID, which I feel like would be bigger news if that were true. Here was Joe Biden staggering his way through another interview. But this guy's in the lead, and he's only in the lead for one reason, the feeling of chaos, the feeling of volatility, and the feeling that these things aren't getting locked down, and that Joe Biden represents some sort of return to normalcy. Now, as we will see, he does not represent a return to normalcy. That's what makes this election so dangerous. Here's Biden.
"Now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
120 million dead from COVID. Wow. Figured wouldn't known about them. Okay, we're going to get to in a second why it's dangerous for this man to become president of the United States. Because quick spoiler alert, the answer is because Joe Biden, like most members of the Democratic Party, he's beholden to his radical left. It's hard to portray him that way because he's old and because he's doddering and because he's unthreatening and because he explicitly disassociated from sort of the Bernie Sanders wing of the party. But he won't actively disassociate from some of the more radical planks that people in his party want. He's a weakling, in other words. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about your internet freedom. Social media companies, they get to decide what content is suitable for sensitive snowflakes among us and then censor whatever they don't like. Shouldn't you be the one to decide what you want to read or watch, not them? Well, here's one thing you can control, their access to your data. For that, I use ExpressVPN. See, the problem with big tech companies is that not only do they censor what you read, they track what you do online. They track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They use this data to serve you ads. They can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these tech companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Why give these tech companies a free license to know everything about you and then turn around and sell off your information? It's time to take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/fen. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Who doesn't like to save money, right? Again, that's expressvpn.com/fen, expressvpn.com/fen, expressvpn.com/fen to protect your data today, expressvpn.com/fen. Okay, so the reason that Joe Biden remains a danger to the country is specifically because he is not going to be stymieing his left-wing base. Over the past several days, there has been this real push, this very, very hard push to tear down all the statues. Nancy Pelosi is now caving to this. Nancy Pelosi was asked about tearing down statues with the Washington Post.
These Confederates, Jefferson Davis, Alexander Stevens, they committed treason against the United States in the name of slavery. I think that's a different story. But you know what? Subject everything to scrutiny and make a decision. But I do think we should do it in a safer way rather than a more dangerous way.
Subject it all to scrutiny. Jefferson, Washington. And she says, yeah, it's different. It's different for like Jefferson Davis, which of course is true. But then she's like, well, maybe we should, let's consider all of it. Joe Biden's campaign. When I say that this has infected the entire Democratic infrastructure, so the Daily Caller reached out to the Biden campaign and asked them if the former vice president agrees with Democrats who want to tear down statues of George Washington, Ulysses S. Grant, Theodore Roosevelt, and some depictions of Jesus. The campaign was given over 24 hours to respond to the inquiry. They did not do so. That is not a shock at all. Of course they're not going to do so. The entire campaign of Joe Biden is to play dead, to appease his woke base. Now, what will he do when he's in office? So I don't think he's stupid enough to actually attempt to tear this sort of stuff down. But I also do not think that he is in control of his own party. And I think that his own party has gone so far off the rails at this point that it's being dictated to by the likes of Nicole Hannah-Jones, the founder of the 1619 Project. And Nicole Hannah-Jones, there's a whole now nationwide discussion prompted by a bad essay by Nicole Hannah-Jones on slavery reparations that likens the death of Michael Brown to lynchings from 1910 in Oklahoma. I mean, it's an absurd piece. It's being discussed ad nauseum on television today. By the way, I think it's important to note where Nicole Hannah-Jones is coming from. So here's the thing. If you wrote something like 25, 30 years ago, and then you repudiate it and you say, yeah, that was a bad idea. That was a stupid thing to write. I get it. I've done it myself. Right? I was writing from the time I was 17 years old. And when you write publicly, you are subjected to scrutiny, as you should be. I have an entire list online of things that I have said from the time I was young that I regret having said and thought was stupid or bad. Right? That's all normal. That's a normal thing in public discourse. So it is not outside the realm of reality to ask about Nicole Hannah-Jones about this letter to the editor that she apparently wrote. This is according to Jordan Davidson reporting over at The Federalist. A letter from Nicole Hannah-Jones to the editor of the school newspaper at Notre Dame. Here's what she wrote back when she was in college. She wrote, I find it hard to believe that any member of the white race can have the audacity and hypocrisy to call any other culture savage. The white race is the biggest murderer, rapist, pillager, and thief of the modern world. Europeans have colonized and destroyed the indigenous populations on every continent of this planet. They've committed genocide against cultures that have never offended them in their greed and insatiable desire to control and dominate every non-white culture. Christopher Columbus and those like him were no different than Hitler. The crimes they committed were unnecessarily cruel and can be only described as acts of the devil. Africans had been to the Americas long before Columbus or any Europeans. The difference is that Africans had the decency and respect for human life to learn from the Native Americans and train technology with them. This is a weird thing. The pyramids of the Aztecs and the great stone heads of the Olmecs are lasting monuments to the friendship of these two peoples. Well, that's an interesting take on where those monuments came from. But as David Walker wrote in his appeal of 1829, the white men acted, quote, more like devils than accountable men. Whites have always been an unjust, jealous, unmerciful, avaricious, and bloodthirsty set of beings, always seeking after power and authority. It was not enough for whites to come to the Americas and learn. They looked upon the native people as inferior and a people to be annihilated. Their lasting monument was the destruction and enslavement of two races of people. Using Christianity as their excuse, the white race denied the native people their humanity. Not only did they rape and murder the indigenous peoples of America, they killed off many more by introducing diseases which came from filth and uncleanliness to the native people. Poop only existed in Europe. The white race used deceit and trickery, warfare and rape to steal the land from people who had lived here for thousands and thousands of years. Over and over again, whites made peace treaties with the Native Americans, telling them if they moved just this one time and gave up their land to the greedy settlers just this one last time, they would never have to move again. It was common knowledge that the white man's word could not be trusted. Even today, the descendants of these savage people pump drugs and guns into the black community, pack black people into the squalor of segregated urban ghettos, and continue to be bloodsuckers in our communities. Yes, it was Columbus that set the platforms for these racist American institutions. A devil calling someone a savage is like a pot calling the kettle black. But after everything these barbaric devils did, I do not hate them or their descendants. I understand that because of some lacking, they felt they needed to constantly prove their superiority. Okay, the wild stuff, right? So here's the thing. Again, she shouldn't be canceled over this because I don't think people should be canceled over opinions generally. I think it's a complete waste of time. And it's not like we didn't know that this is the kind of stuff that she was writing back in college because she basically writes a watered-down version of this today. It is just very important to recognize the root ideology that is now being promulgated in the Democratic Party at its most crude form. And by the way, it's not just Nicole Hannah-Jones. Like, she's an ideological thought leader and obviously the de facto editor of the New York Times at this point. But it's people like Jamelle Bouie. Jamelle Bouie literally just said the other day, quote, neither Abraham Lincoln nor the Republican Party freed the slaves. Instead, the slaves freed the slaves. Emancipation was, quote, something they took for themselves. The most that can be said of Lincoln and the nation's political leadership is that they, quote, helped set freedom in motion and eventually codified it into law with the 13th Amendment. Bouie says that the Union Army basically only delivered the news of the Emancipation Proclamation. Yes, black Americans were very important in contributing to the abolitionist movement. Also, hundreds of thousands of white men died to free black slaves. Abraham Lincoln spent his presidency.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
St. Jude, they knew what they were doing. They knew how they were going to treat her. They laid out this elaborate plan.
We didn't know what the future was or if there even was a future. But with St. Jude, there was.
Not that long ago, the survival rate was 4%. 4%. But through the work and research that St. Jude does, that's now 94%. And you know how that got done? It's through donations. By people getting behind this mission that no child dies in the dawn of life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You got to try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Cultural Revolution continues apace. There's now a push to replace the Star-Spangled Banner because it was written by Francis Scott Key. There's a piece by Lindsay Parker, the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Music, suggesting that we replace, I am not kidding you, we replace the Star-Spangled Banner with Imagine, with the worst song ever written in human history. And by the way, maybe we should just do it. We've fallen further from God's grace every day here in this country. And I think that if God has really decided to punish us this way, perhaps Imagine is the final shameful adoption of that which has become our national credo, a nation without any sort of principle, borders, religion, concept of sin, a vindictive, horrifying nation of people enacting intolerable cruelties like singing Imagine to them on each other. So there's a push to get rid of the national anthem. Also, it's all stupid posturing at this point. Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to paint Black Lives Matter on the street outside Trump Tower, which is just idiotic. Congratulations, Mayor de Blasio. You solved all the problems in New York City, including the massive spate of shootings that has happened in your city over the last 14 days because you have decided to castrate the police. So more dead people, but also paint on the sidewalk to make fun of Trump. You owned him. You owned him. All those dead people, they feel really great about Mayor Bill de Blasio painting crap outside. I love that you're painting Black Lives Matter outside Trump Tower while black people get shot in New York. Really, it's the irony is I think, lost on very few people. Really, really amazing stuff. And Trump is so easily goaded. He then tweeted in response. He said he referenced de Blasio's plan to, quote, paint the fabled and beautiful Fifth Avenue right in front of Trump Tower / Tiffany. And then he went after Black Lives Matter and pointed out that the Black Lives Matter group is incredibly radical, which, of course, is true. But these sort of fulminations, are these super useful? Meanwhile, even sort of minor violations of our new creed in America must be expunged. So good news, they're changing Splash Mountain. Splash Mountain will now be the Princess and the Frog. Do I really care about that? Not really. I kind of like Princess and the Frog. And if you ever go to, I'm a big Disneyland person. We have annual passes. If you ever go to like Mickey's Magical Map, the culmination of that whole show is a number from Princess and the Frog. So it's a lot of fun. You want to do that? Fine. It's on Disney to do that. That's cool. But the reason they are doing it is because apparently Splash Mountain was giving out like subtle racist messages because it uses Zippity Doodah, which comes from Song of the South, which is an actual racist cartoon. But nobody who has ever sung Zippity Doodah for the last 50 years is aware of the origins of Zippity Doodah. Like no one. I've been on Splash Mountain 1,000 times. It has never occurred to me it has anything to do with race at all. They're not even people on the ride, right? It's Br'er Rabbit and the weird bear and all this. Like that. Okay. Anyway, they're changing that because even the mildest hint of something bad in history has to be expunged. Also, the Dixie Chicks are changing their name. They're no longer the Dixie Chicks. Now they will be known as the Chicks, which doesn't really seem to me to solve the problem. I feel like that's just radically sexist. Shouldn't they be the Wimmicks? Right? Shouldn't they be the pronoun of unspecified gender? Like chick seems a little bit, it seems a little bit demeaning, the Chicks. So they're getting rid of Dixie because apparently this means that, like, if you ever say Dixie, so how, like Winn-Dixie, does Winn-Dixie have to change its name? If you use the term Dixie, which is like a geographic region, if you use that term, do you have to get rid of it? By the way, was anybody under the misimpression that the Dixie Chicks were like Confederates? I'm just wondering. So all of this seems very stupid, but the good news is at least we can find humor in this stupidity. So this is the best story of the day. Chaz is falling apart, guys. It's falling apart. And it's falling apart in the most hilarious possible way. Apparently people are just leaving. People are fleeing the beautiful, beautiful landscape of democracy-ridden Chaz, right? A block party of joy where people are just getting shot kind of randomly. They're just leaving this peaceful preserve away from the predations of American capitalism and the brutality of America's racist cops. And they're fleeing this wonderful utopia for the racist, violence-ridden hellscape of the United States. So they've left the Independent Republic of Chaz, and they're moving back into the United States. A statement from a Twitter account that claims to be associated with the protest zone said, only a few people remain in our beloved CHOP. Only a few people. That's the super, super sad stuff. By the way, Mayor Jenny Durkin, who had declared this thing like democracy protest and all of this, she had said that we're going to clean this thing out in the next few weeks because it turns out people keep getting shot in Utopia. Thousands of protesters occupied it, and then everybody left. By the way, a bunch of business owners now suing the city properly for not protecting their property. Properly. Hip-hop artist and de facto CHOP warlord Raz Simone acknowledged the protesters have drawn attention from critics. He says the protesters of Chaz have targets on their backs. That is an issue. A lot of peaceful protesters are being harmed. So it's sad that's where we're at in America. You're not in America. You're in Chaz. So that's on you, dude. If you're the leader of Chaz and people are getting shot in your territory, I feel like that's you. The best quote on this is from a Seattle community leader named Andre Taylor. He said, it's over because of the violence. I've told people here, don't be focused on the location. CHOP is not a location. It's an idea. It's an idea. True CHOP has never been tried. True Chaz has never been tried. It's an idea, guys. Sure, the reality is people bleeding out in the streets and like us trying to farm by dumping topsoil on cardboard and calling it a farm and us sitting out there and Mao shaming each other, doing Maoist struggle sessions about our white privilege. But really, it's more an idea than it was a reality. True Chop has never been tried. It's really great. You know, Chop really was the friends we made along the way, except the ones who are dead. Those ones, we don't remember them. But everybody else, it was the friend, it was the journey. Chop was the journey, not the destination, guys. Chop was the idea. It wasn't the reality. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Frost. Vice President Mike Pence shares new numbers on the spread of the coronavirus in the U.S.
As we reported today, we have now more than 2,500,000 Americans that have contracted the coronavirus. And sadly, we've lost more than 126,000 of our countrymen to this disease.
Texas and Florida reverse course and clamp down on bars again Friday, and the nation's biggest retreat yet as the daily number of confirmed coronavirus infections in the U.S. surged to an all-time high. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says that he doesn't plan to issue a statewide order requiring masks.
We provide education. We did an advisory at the beginning of May, and we've advised that that's something that could make an impact. At the same time, you know, to do police and put criminal penalties on that is something that is probably going to would backfire.
The House voted on legislation that would make Washington, D.C. the 51st state, the first time such a bill has ever been approved.
The vote will be historic, as legislation to make the district a state has not even been brought to the floor since 1993, when it was soundly defeated. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has ruled out bringing the bill to the Senate floor, and President Trump opposes it. If D.C. were a state, it would almost certainly add two Democratic senators and one Democratic lawmaker to the House, given the city's Democratic-leaning citizens. Nonetheless, Friday's vote will make a big milestone in a decades-long battle.
As correspondent Bernie Bennett, the House approved the landmark legislation on a vote of 232 to 180 on Friday. The Minneapolis City Council has unanimously advanced a plan that could one day do away with the city's police department following unrest over the killing of George Floyd. The council voted Friday in favor of amending the city charter to replace the current department with a Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention that would prioritize, quote, a holistic approach. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible. Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code MOVIE to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code MOVIE.
American Airlines will start booking flights to full capacity next week.
This will end any effort to promote social distancing on its planes while coronavirus cases are still soaring. American will continue to notify customers if their flight is full and let them change flights at no extra cost. The airline said it will also let passengers change seats on the plane if there's room and if they stay in the same cabin. Delta, Southwest, Alaska, and JetBlue say they block middle seats or limit capacity, with some of them promising to continue that practice through September. John Scott reporting.
The 48-year-old man suspected of fatally shooting two co-workers and critically wounding another at a central Illinois warehouse Friday died after apparently shooting himself, the city's police chief said. Springfield police believe Michael L. Collins fatally shot himself Friday after shooting and killing two co-workers at the Bun-O-Matic facility shortly after 11 a.m. This is townhall.com. Normally done by the end of June, it looks like the Supreme Court's work will extended to July.
The justices heard arguments by telephone in 10 cases in May after closing the building to the public in the middle of March. None of those cases has been decided yet, and the justices still have three earlier cases pending, including one dealing with abortion clinic regulations in Louisiana. More opinions are expected early next week. Another reason there's no special urgency to finish up by the end of June? The justices have nowhere to go. I'm Shelley Antler.
Emotions are running high as the Mississippi legislators consider the future of the last state flag in the United States that includes the Confederate battle emblem. Leaders say a vote at the state capitol could happen this weekend, possibly as soon as Saturday. More of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
This stand is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Independence Day with the showy display at Mount Rushmore have angered Native Americans, who view the monument as a desecration of land violently stolen from them and used to pay homage to leaders hostile to indigenous people. Several groups led by Native American activists are planning protests for Trump's July 3rd visit, part of Trump's comeback campaign. The event is slated to include fighter jets thundering over the 79-year-old stone monument in South Dakota's Black Hills. By the way, it's an amazing monument. I mean, it really is. I'm not a big fan of monuments generally. I've said this before. Like, I think that human beings kind of suck generally, and so monuments are not my thing. But it's a pretty incredible monument. Also, it's a beautiful area. I mean, the Black Hills are just gorgeous. But it comes amid a national reckoning over racism. Many Native American activists say the Rushmore Memorial is as reprehensible as the many Confederate monuments being toppled around the nation. Well, you know, if they say it, then I guess it's true and we should tear it down. Nick Tilson, a member of the Oglala Lakota tribe, says, quote, Mount Rushmore is a symbol of white supremacy, of structural racism that's still alive and well. Yeah. Honestly, like, all these buzzwords are completely useless. They're completely useless. It is not a symbol of white supremacy. It is not supposed to be at the... If Andrew Jackson ain't on it, okay, guys? Like, the people who are on Mount Rushmore are not there because they were stealing land from Native Americans. That's not why they're being celebrated. Some activists want to see the monument removed and the Black Hills returned to the Lakota. Trump has long shown a fascination with Mount Rushmore. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said in 2018 he once told her straight face it was his dream to have his face carved into the monument, which would just be pretty incredible, pretty wild. Some commentators have expressed fear that Mount Rushmore could be next. By the way, I will point out that this AP piece does quote me because I suggested that the woke historical revisionist priesthood would want to blow up the monument, and Governor Noem responded by saying, not on my watch, which is the correct response. That doesn't mean that people aren't going to whine about it and complain about Mount Rushmore. So it's smart of President Trump. It is smart of him to go do this speech at Mount Rushmore to try to remind us that, you remember these symbols that used to unify us? People seem to be tearing these apart. I will point out that some of us have written books on this. My new book coming out in about 3 weeks, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Now, that book is entirely about the destruction of all the things that used to unify us, the national anthem and the flag and icons and our history and our philosophy. All those things are being torn apart, and they're being torn apart on purpose at this point. There's just no question about that, which is unfortunate because these all could unify us. They really could. But we have decided that we are not going to do that after all. Well, in other news, Democrats are now pushing forward on a different sort of agenda. The House Democrats are set for a historic vote on D.C. statehood. The House is poised to pass legislation today that would make Washington, D.C. the 51st state, the first time such a bill has ever been approved. Now, there's only one problem. That doesn't matter at all, like at all. You can't pass a bill in Congress that makes it a state. Not how it works. You need a constitutional amendment to make it a state. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has ruled out bringing the bill to the floor. It's pretty obvious that you cannot actually give D.C. state. Look, there's a revisionist historical attempt to suggest that D.C. was not given statehood because D.C. is largely black. It is true that D.C. was deprived of local government in the aftermath of the Civil War because D.C. was largely black. One third of the people living in D.C. at the time were black. Many of them were freed slaves. And there were white supremacists who didn't want D.C. to have local government because they were afraid that black people would take over those positions in local government. That was changed with the change of the law in 1961, I believe, with the ratification of the 23rd Amendment. And then in 1973, Congress passed the Home Rule Act, and that's what gave D.C. a district council and a mayor. Okay, this is not about D.C. being, quote-unquote, too liberal or too black or too many Democrats, as Mayor Bowser suggests. No, what this is really about is the fact that D.C. originally was designated in the Constitution of the United States as a federal territory. And the reason that it was designated that way is because what they didn't want is a situation like they had a few years earlier in Philadelphia. So if you don't know anything about American history, you pretend this is about race. If you know American history, what you understand is that what this was always about is you didn't want a state to have dominance over the federal seat of power. This is according to National Geographic. During the American Revolution, the Continental Congress had no permanent home. While penning the U.S. Constitution, the founders quibbled about the location of a permanent capital. They did agree on one point. They didn't want to repeat the events of June 1783, when a group of drunken soldiers angry about back pay converged on the Philadelphia State House. Local authorities refused to act, and the mob chased Congress out of town. To prevent a redo of the disastrous protest and establish the new nation's control over the seat of government, statesmen agreed on the idea of a federal city. In Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution, they gave Congress power to exercise legislation in a seat of government that didn't exceed 10 square miles, and then they couldn't pick where it was going to be, so they gave that control to George Washington. Northern states wanted the capital in the north, and for the federal government to assume debts from the Revolutionary War. Southern states, which had already paid off a lot of their debt, they objected. The issue deadlocked Congress, and then the deal was the Compromise of 1790 in exchange for a capital along the Potomac River in the south. James Madison agreed not to block the federal government's assumption of northern war debt. The result was the Residence Act, which set a permanent capital in what became Washington, D.C. It gave the U.S. president, then George Washington, authority to select the site, and he chose the location next to Georgetown, Maryland, and Virginia, ceded the land to the federal government. The people who were living in the area were disenfranchised by the creation of Washington, D.C. But here's the deal. It doesn't have to be a separate state. It doesn't. If you just want people there to be able to vote for a seat in the Senate, absorb it into Maryland or absorb it into Virginia. The only reason Democrats think this should be a separate state is because they want two more senators. Right? That's the real reason that Democrats are doing this at this point. Because, again, if you want people to be able to vote in federal elections, very, very simple answer. All you have to do is resorb this thing into Maryland or into Virginia. And you can do that without a constitutional amendment. You can. All you have to do is have the approval of the state. But if you actually want to do this, you do have to have a constitutional amendment. Good luck with getting all the other states to devalue their vote by adding Washington, D.C. as a state. So they're going to try and claim now this is an anti-racist effort. It isn't. It's obviously just a Democratic effort to gain more power in the Senate. I'm amused, by the way, by all the people online in the Twitterverse who are like, yeah, well, Washington, D.C. has more people than Montana. Right. The United States Senate is not based on population. It is based on statehood. So that's true. And Wyoming has very, very few people. California has many, many people. They have exactly the same number of senators. What you're really talking about is just the abolition of the U.S. Senate entirely, which is what Democrats increasingly want. Right? They want to abolish the Electoral College. They want to abolish the Senate of the United States, if they could get right down to it. They want all the checks and balances to go away because they believe they have a pure popular majority. And then they can use the pure popular majority to just cram down whatever they want on the other 49%. What the founders understood inherently is that if you actually want to have a functional country, you have to have a supermajority for big things. You have to get through all the checks and balances. You have to run through all of these various wickets, these sticky wickets, in order for you to be able to pass a piece of legislation. You have to manufacture a broad consensus in order to do something big. And the reason they wanted that is because they didn't want what they called the tyranny of the majority. They didn't want 50 votes plus one to decide the fate of the rest of the United States. They figured this would fragment the country. They were right. Democrats don't care about fragmenting the country. They only care about control. And so for them, getting rid of all the instruments that involve checks and balances, that is a positive good. It is something that must be done so that you can use the power of a bare majority to cram down your perspective on everybody else. What's amazing is how many of these Democrats don't remember history at all. I mean, truly. Because, remember, the power of a bare majority in many southern states with no checks and balances led to tremendous repression, specifically of black people. So that is, you know, it's worth remembering. But Democrats are going to ignore that, of course, because, again, it is all about power and not at all about principle. Okay, in just a second, we are going to give you the update on President Trump's polls. They are not good, and we can talk about what President Trump can do to turn this around. He's going to have to. Something needs to change, obviously. First, let's talk about something great you can do for yourself, something uplifting these days. Everything is depressing. Here's something uplifting. Go out to your garage, get all those old memories that are just moldering out there, the VHS tapes and the film reels and the photos that are falling apart. Take all that stuff, toss it in a box from Legacy Box, send it back to Legacy Box, and then let Legacy Box translate that into digital format. Legacy Box is a great way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish, really, really easy. You pack, you send. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and then you enjoy. Get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Everything is digitized by hand at their secure 50,000-square-foot digitizing campus. They use Premier scanners and playback decks to ensure every memory is mastered to the highest quality. I know the people who run this place, and they are dedicated to making sure that your memories are preserved at top, top-notch level. Get started future-proofing your memories today so you can gather the family and begin that trip down memory lane and preserve this stuff for future generations. Go to legacybox.com/benradio to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Again, that's legacybox.com/benradio and save 40% while supplies last. legacybox.com/benradio. Okay, meanwhile, the polls for President Trump continue to just be ugly. I mean, really ugly. There's a new Fox News poll of registered voters. It shows Joe Biden beating Trump handily in Florida, edging him in Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas. Fox's polling falls in line with a bunch of other recent nationwide and swing state polls, showing a near double-digit lead for Biden across the country and narrower leads but still substantial in swing states. President Trump is slamming the polling itself. Kellyanne Conway is saying that the polls are a colossal waste of time and money. They are not. Ignoring all polling data is a mistake. The national polls were actually not wrong about 2016. A few state polls were wrong. Okay, you cannot trail by Trump can lose the popular vote by 3, 4, maybe even 5 points and still win the election. He cannot lose the popular vote by 10 points and win the election. It's not something that can happen. And if he is running close to even in places like Georgia and Texas, that is very, very bad news for him, obviously. Now, all of that could change. I assume that this race will narrow as we approach the conventions. I assume that people will come to grips with the fact that there's an actual presidential race on. Right now, everybody's distracted by everything else going on, obviously. Biden has a 9-point lead in Florida, according to Fox, which is just disastrous. Of course, Trump won Florida last time around. Among the Florida voters who said they were extremely motivated to vote, Biden's lead is 11 points, 53 to 42. Those four states represent 98 additional electoral college votes. And again, those swing states from Fox poll from Fox News do not include Wisconsin, which he is trailing, Michigan, which he is trailing, Pennsylvania, which he is trailing. I mean, if the map looked like this, if the map actually looked like this, it would be like a historic blowout, like a really, really bad blowout. So what does President Trump have to do in order to change all of this? What exactly can he do to change all of this? Well, number one, he's going to have to actually get back on message. It's pretty important to be back on message. And that means you can't fulminate on Twitter about glasses of water. You can't fulminate on Twitter about John Bolton. You can't fulminate on Twitter about any of this stuff. It is a waste of time. Right now, according to those Fox News polls, it is quite possible that President Trump ends up with just over 100 electoral votes out of 535, which is really bad. So he needs to be more focused, obviously. He can't just keep doing what he's been doing. In other words, if he keeps doing what he's been doing, he's going to lose. And that means that, by the way, he needs to stand up for law and order. Tucker Carlson went after him yesterday on a show. He is correct about this. Trump's voters are not happy with the fact that Trump has allowed the country to spiral out of control. You know, when he says law and order, he can't just tweet it. He has to tell governors that they need to call in the National Guard right now. He needs to speak out loudly and proudly about the fact that Democrats are tearing the country apart. And more than that, he can't offer the Democrats shiny objects of distraction. His focus needs to be singular from here on in. It can't be the ADHD picking the apples off the trees. Understand, I'm saying this because I would like to see him win. I plan on voting for the president. But if these polls are right, it's really ugly. What's just as ugly is the battle for the Senate. where it appears that Democrats and Republicans are basically even up right now with four toss-up states, including Iowa, Maine, Montana, and North Carolina, which could all get ugly. President Trump needs to turn this around. He needs to turn it around right quick. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You got to try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, according to CNN, Joe Biden has come down to four VP finalists. You ready for this? Four VP finalists. And there's some heavy news here for Stacey Abrams. Some bad news here for Stacey Abrams. So Stacey Abrams has been openly campaigning for the VP slot because she thought about running for president and then she's like, nah. And she didn't become governor of Georgia, but then declared she was. And so she's been openly campaigning to be on Joe Biden's shortlist. She didn't make the shortlist. She didn't make any list, as it turns out. Four VP finalists. Other hardest hit, Susan Rice, not on this list. Susan Rice, the former national security advisor under Barack Obama, is not on this list. Here are his four VP finalists. Kamala Harris, Val Demings of Florida, Elizabeth Warren, and Keisha Lance Bottoms. So four women of color. Kamala Harris, Val Demings, Elizabeth Warren, and Keisha Lance Bottoms. See what I did there? Four women of color? Because Elizabeth Warren, yeah. Elizabeth Warren's a white lady. Okay, so here are the finalists are a woman who called Biden a racist and suggested that he wanted to stop her from attending an integrated school in the 1970s. Elizabeth Warren, who lied about being a Native American and also happens to be extraordinarily radical and who spent most of the campaign calling Biden an old creeper who is corrupt and terrible. Keisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor of a city that is currently in complete chaos. Police walked off the job because she decided it was more important to go after the cops than to stop crime in her city, and Val Demings. So Val Demings is the person who has, I would say, the least to not recommend her, Val Demings, although she did tweet just a few weeks ago that people should resist President Trump's attempts at martial law, Val Demings. She's also the least well-known of the four. And if you said Val Demings to most Americans, they have no idea who you're talking about. Kamala Harris has name recognition, but no record. She's the worst of these candidates. Kamala Harris is the most dangerous of these candidates. She is absolutely cynical in her political ploys. She's the person who was pushing out false information about Brett Kavanaugh during the Kavanaugh hearings. She's the person who she literally just filibustered a police reform bill in order to prevent the Democrats from getting 75% of what they wanted. I mean, Kamala Harris is just awful. She's awful. She's the AG of my home state, former AG of my home state, senator from my home state. She's a terrible AG. She's a terrible senator. Kamala Harris would be a disaster. Certainly would give President Trump a target to pick on. Elizabeth Warren doesn't really give Biden much. I'd be kind of shocked if he picked Elizabeth Warren at this point. So, first of all, I don't think any of these people necessarily give Biden very much, right? I mean, the fact is that Biden scores real well with black voters. He doesn't actually need a black VP in order to score well with black voters. He still has the halo of Obama riding over him. If it weren't for Barack Obama, he'd still be a four-time failed presidential candidate. I mean, so the only reason that he's even the nominee is because he still has heavy black support, right? He was getting crushed in the heavily white states. And then he went down south and he started winning heavily black votes. So he doesn't actually need Kamala Harris, who, again, had to drop out because she had no black support. He doesn't need Val Demings. He doesn't need Keisha Lance Bottoms. But he doesn't need Elizabeth Warren either. This idea that he has to reach out to the progressive wing of the party to unify the party by bringing in Elizabeth Warren is wrong. But that might be the person he's most comfortable with, because Elizabeth Warren is more of the Joe Biden type, kind of a Washington insidery wonky type, as opposed to a woke social justice warrior. Now, she does play that part, but she doesn't play it very well. And Elizabeth Warren is the kind of person who reads the stage directions aloud. Elizabeth Warren is the person who goes on national TV and then says things like, black trans women are the backbone of our democracy, which is completely and utterly meaningless. And you know that she doesn't really believe that she knows what she's talking about, but you know she has to mouth it. Like, she's transparently wooden. So Elizabeth Warren might be who he ends up with, but I feel like he's going to get some blowback from commentators saying, well, it's an all-white ticket. Again, all-white ticket again. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Kamala Harris obviously has the inside track here, because, again, she's a senator. Biden knows her. Val Demings, probably not. Keisha Lance Bottoms would be a bizarre pick, really a weird pick, because nobody had heard of her until about 3 weeks ago when all the race riots started. And then nobody heard of her even after that until her Atlanta police force basically went on strike and decided to get the blue flu and all not show up for work after she decided it was necessary to have a police officer fired for doing his job. So very weird final four here for Joe Biden. Again, Stacey Abrams, hardest hit. My goodness. Stacey Abrams just sitting home weeping into her coffee at this point, because nobody wants Stacey Abrams anywhere near power. They all just say, you got to feel a little bad for Stacey Abrams, right? It's like Joe Biden trots her out, or Bernie Sanders trots her out, and they're like, here is my good black friend, Stacey Abrams. And Stacey Abrams comes out and she's like, yeah, I'm here and I'm friends with Joe Biden. And sure, I think he's an old weird white guy, but maybe he'll make me VP. And then it's like Lucy with the football. Sorry, Stacey Abrams. No power for you. Not going to happen. Susan Rice. I'm not sure she's ever really lobbying for it as much, Susan Rice. I'm kind of shocked she didn't make the final four, because, again, Obama holdover in leftist circles, relatively uncontroversial. She's really despised on the right because of obviously her engagement in Benghazi and the lies that she told on national TV. But most leftists see Benghazi as a sterling triumph for the Obama administration. So that wouldn't hurt her at all. Now, honestly, look, his best pick is obvious. His best pick here is Michelle Obama, if he could ever get her to do it. And Michelle Obama, like, she should do it, right? I mean, she'll be the next president. I mean, if Michelle Obama takes the VP slot, Biden is not going to last. I mean, I don't mean to predict people's health, but the guy does not look good. And by the way, he could retire comfortably being the bridge between Obama and Obama, having gotten to be president, having gotten to be that transformational figure toward the future. Michelle Obama has an enormous amount of popularity with the American people. People forget that she was very, very radical very early on in her husband's run for the White House. She said that she had never been proud of her country until her husband started to succeed and all of this kind of stuff. And then she kind of made herself over into generic first lady who says progressive things sometimes. And then she wrote a very uplifting book that was not too outspoken on politics. I mean, let's put this way, a Biden-Obama ticket would probably walk away with 40 states. It would get real ugly for President Trump if he were to pick Michelle Obama. That would be the rabbit out of the hat for Joe Biden for sure. But that'd be the surprise pick. Of these four, probably Kamala Harris is the most likely to end up as his VP pick, which means that you get a radical former attorney general of the state of California and senator who's entirely dishonest and Machiavellian. And let's just say that Joe Biden would be contending against his own VP for power inside his administration. Coming up, we're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Furl. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Melissa in Dallas-Fort Worth, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Melissa.
Hi. My question is, do you believe the data reporting on the current COVID-19 surges are intentionally vague? Meaning, I'm most concerned about the lack of a breakdown of the data, such as symptomatic cases, severity of illness, and the percentage of false positives. I mean, manipulation of death, disregarding comorbidities. I just think there's a vagueness to this reporting that's causing a pervasion of fear. And I just wanted to know if you thought
it was
intentional.
I 100% agree with this. So the reality is that when the media report identified cases, that's like the dumbest statistic ever. Identified cases does not matter at all. Hospitalizations matter, and then deaths matter. Now, the problem is that there's a bit of a delay. So between the diagnosis and then hospitalization, there can be up to a week delay. And then between hospitalization and death, there can be up to another week or two-week delay. But what we have seen is that disproportionately this disease kills older people, like really, really disproportionately. And one of the things that we've seen in the current spike is that the spike is mainly happening among younger people, which is one of the reasons why you are seeing the number of deaths per day in Florida actually not rising very much. And I'm looking at the statistics right now. I'll give you the last week and a half in Florida. It was 55, 25, because right after a weekend, it tends to drop. 43, 43, 40. And there was the weekend where it goes down because people don't report. Then 64, 45, 44. Okay, these are not tremendous spikes. I mean, it's basically flat. If you look at the actual chart, it looks like it's been kind of flat since mid-May. It looks like the big spike took place in late April, and then it's been flat since mid-May. Now, it may spike again in a week, right, because of the delayed indicator. But the idea that everybody who's being infected is now going to die, that obviously is not correct. I mean, and it's also true, again, that the vast majority of people who are getting this thing, because you can look at the average age numbers, the vast majority of people, or at least a majority of people now who are getting this thing, are younger. So I'm looking at the charts. Florida has been very transparent about its data, by the way. Like, you want to talk about the media's malpractice here? They keep pretending that Florida's covering up data. Florida has the best data of any state. They're putting out the data every single day. Ron DeSantis in Florida is doing a very good job with this. So the data through June 24th, here is the data. There have been about 15,813 cases diagnosed of people between the ages of 15 to 24 years old. Only 2% of those people were hospitalized and 0% died. If you're between 25 and 34, that is actually the single largest age group of diagnosis in the state of Florida, is between 25 and 34. Of those people, that was about 19% of all cases. Of those people, only 6% were hospitalized and less than 1% died. If you're 35 to 44, that is the second largest group of people diagnosed. 45 to 54, third largest group of people diagnosed. That entire group is below 4% deaths from number of cases actually diagnosed. Then it starts to rise fairly dramatically in terms of death rates for people who are above the age of 55. But what we're seeing in the new cases is that it's mostly young people. Why? Well, because young people are the ones who are not that worried about it. So young people are going out in Miami and they are partying and they are going to bars and they are doing the stuff that young people do. That's what you're seeing. So is this as dangerous as the spike we saw in New York? No, because the spike we saw in New York, nobody knew how this disease worked. They didn't protect any of the nursing homes. They were deliberately shipping people with COVID back into nursing homes at the behest of idiot Governor Andrew Cuomo, and they killed off a bunch of people in the nursing homes. This is true virtually across the country, except in states like Florida that actually protected their nursing homes, which is why the total number of deaths in Florida, a state the size of New York by population, the total number of deaths is something on the order of 1/8 the total number of deaths in New York. The lack of specificity in data is how the media can get away with nonsense, like claiming that Florida and Texas are botching this thing while California is doing just fantastic.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. You validated Melissa, my suspicions since March.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wish that everybody could be a little bit less dishonest about all of this, because the data is out there. It's just that nobody actually in the media wants to cover it. They have a narrative to push. Nate Silver is one of the few people who's being honest about this. So Nate Silver put out a tweet thread earlier today, and in it, he had a graphic, and it showed the relationship between red and blue in terms of cases. So what he did is he broke down counties that were red and counties that are blue. They have identical increases right now. Right now, they are on the exact same trend line. In other words, this is pretty much going everywhere. It's hitting everybody. And the places that are getting the hardest hit are the places that were not that hard hit in the first place, which makes perfect sense. In New York, there are already a bunch of people who had it and therefore cannot pass it along and cannot get it anymore. So that's not a giant shock. But if you look at California, California's had a rapid increase in the number of cases. The total number of cases is rapidly rising right now. If you look at the daily new cases in California, they are spiking. If you look at the number of coronavirus deaths, however, on a day-by-day level, they're basically flat. They've been flat for a while. So is it mainly young people? Apparently it is. Apparently what we are doing right now is exactly the strategy I suggested would eventually become the norm, which is if you are young and healthy, then you are being less careful because you don't care. You're 30. You're probably not going to die from it. And if you're 65, you're being a lot more careful and you're protecting the nursing homes. And that may in fact be the best that we can do, given the fact there is no vaccine. The media proclaiming that there's something else we can do, which is completely locked down. You know which state completely locked down? California. You know which state is seeing a giant spike right now, despite the fact that it's still largely locked down? California. It doesn't seem to matter. It really doesn't. It seems to be that when the spike occurs, the spike occurs. And maybe that's the protest. Maybe it's not the protest. Whatever it is, red and blue divisions, even policy differences, are not creating clear-cut differentials between states. The only policy difference that seems to have made a clear-cut difference is the policy with regard to protecting nursing homes. That seems to be the only one that makes a clear-cut policy difference. Corey in Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Corey.
How's it going, Ben? What do you do when the outrage mob comes for you, when they dox you personally and professionally in an attempt to destroy your livelihood by labeling you a racist for non-racist social media posts like those of Thomas Sowell? Is there legal representation that can help, and how do you find it?
It's very, very difficult to fight back against this because in most states are at-will employers, and there is no protection for political discrimination in the law. So there's protection for anti-religious discrimination, anti-race discrimination, sex discrimination. There's no provision in law in most states, for as far as I'm aware, for political discrimination. So people don't like your viewpoint, so they fire you. They could openly do it, right? They don't even have to pretend. They can just say, we don't like what you said online. You can say, I vote Republican, and they could fire you for that. Right? There's no protection for any of that sort of stuff in employment law, which basically puts people, you know, on their own. It means that you sort of have to take into account the risks of speaking out and, you know, think about starting your own business, or you got to just shut up. I mean, it's a real problem. And I'm not somebody who calls for legislation. I don't think it should exist. I think that the left's nasty, censorious garbage here is going to lead to a two-track system in American life, where Republicans basically hire Republicans, Democrats basically hire Democrats, and then Republicans presumably outcompete Democrats. I think that is very likely the way this thing goes. Or at the very least, Democrats only hire Democrats and Republicans hire anybody who is good at their job, which is kind of what we do at my company, right? And I think that that's probably the way this goes. But you're right. I mean, there are not a lot of things that you can do when somebody is calling you a racist. And if it gets back to your boss and your boss decides he doesn't want the trouble, like the squeakiest wheel gets the grease right now. And the squeakiest wheel is definitely the wheel on the left, no question.
Okay, thank you very much.
I know, it's super depressing, dude. I mean, like, I get this question all the time from college students. It's really depressing that there are so many Americans who feel – I hear it from – by the way, I'm hearing it from, again, liberals working at left media organizations, feeling like they're being squeezed out. That's how radical this has gotten. So it's – I think there will be a backlash. I think the backlash will be in terms of, you know what, I'm just not going to let you cancel anybody. Right? I've had situations in my life as an employer where somebody will come to me and they'll say, you know, I did this thing in the past and I, you know, feel bad about that. What happens if somebody tries to cancel me? And my answer is, well, have you apologized for it, or would you do it again, or any of that? No. And I did it when I was 18, and it wasn't really me. It was my friend, but we're in the same picture together. And my answer is, well, then you can't be canceled because I'm not going to cancel you. In other words, it takes your boss to cancel you, right? It takes your boss, or it takes the crowd. If you're a business, we need a country of people who refuse to be canceled is what we need. Because you can really only, especially if you run your own business, you can only be canceled if you allow the mob to cancel you. Otherwise, you cannot be canceled. You can simply say no. You know what? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. And increasingly, you're starting to see this in the media ecosystem, which is great. Honestly, this is one of the best things I've seen Tucker Carlson do. I still think the best thing I've seen Tucker Carlson do is the mob came for him over old stuff that he said on, you know, some shock jock radio show. And he said, you know what? No one was offended at the time. No one's offended now. It's all a bunch of crap. Not doing it. And you know what happened? Nothing. Because it turns out, Andrew Breitbart told me this a long time ago. Andrew was one of my mentors. And Andrew told me a long time ago that once you realize that the fire they throw at you and the arrows they throw at you don't actually hurt you unless you let them hurt you. Like, it still hurts emotionally, but they can't actually take down your career very often unless you decide to allow them to do so. Now, again, that's not true if you're working for somebody who can fire you. And that obviously is the proviso. Matt in Connecticut, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Matt.
And this is actually pushing on to the point of your last caller. As a conservative, I'm growing more and more angry, restless, and scared of what's happening in our country right now. I or we rely on the Daily Wire, Blaze TV, Crowder, et cetera, to spread the truth of what's happening out there. But I want to help. Not having a strong legal team or armed security, I find it hard to find any form of a platform that I can use to spread my voice without fear of jeopardizing my safety or my job. So I wanted to know from your standpoint, what can the average conservative American who is a family man that doesn't have the option of opening their own business right now, especially in this climate, what we can do to help push this cause without the fear of the mob coming after us in both the physical and emotional way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, it's a very difficult situation. I think that you lock people down long enough in their opinions and it's going to come out in ways people don't like. And again, I think we're going to have to restructure the entire business world. I think that's a predictable effect here. If corporations decide to cave to the left, there will be new corporations that don't decide to cave to the left. And by the way, those ones will be perfectly well served. That's what's going to happen. And my friends at Black Rifle Coffee are making a mint right now. They're making a mint because they refuse to be canceled. They say, yes, we are openly pro-America. We're a veterans-run company. And we're not going to bow to any of this political pressure. And if you don't like us, don't buy our coffee and screw you. And I think that's the way that people are going to have to go. But it's going to be very uncomfortable for people who don't run their own businesses until there are enough entrepreneurs who recognize the market that exists for a political product where people can just say what they want and do what they want.
Thank you.
Well, Matt, appreciate the call. We'll take more of your calls in just 1 second, 855-236-3228. First, let us talk about the earbuds that are currently in your ears. You're listening to the show right now on earbuds, aren't you? Aren't you? Well, if you are and you're using the ones that have the wires attached, you're doing it wrong, right? Those things get all tangled up, and then you can't extricate them. It's a real pain in the butt. This is why you need Raycons. You already know Raycon earbuds start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you do know. Raycon's wireless earbuds are really comfortable, perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, no stems to distract anyone during video phone calls. Well, now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. 15% off your order today at buyraycon.com/Ben. One of the things I love about my Raycons, they fit my ear perfectly. I don't have to worry about the one-size-fits-all Raycon, non-Raycon brand falling out of my ear. Raycons, I can customize them for my ear. They look great. They don't have the stems, so you don't look like a weird alien insect creature. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. David in Orange County, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, David.
Hi, good morning, Ben. As a fellow UCLA alum, I'm seeing that our conservative voices have really been silenced across America, across the universities. And it's really us, the taxpayers, funding these liberals' educations and indoctrinating them into this radicalism. How are we going to take back our institutions of higher learning?
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure the institutions of higher learning are fixable. I think that what we're going to have to do is set up an end-around system. I think that here's what universities are for. Universities say they're to educate kids. They're generally not to educate kids unless you're in the hard sciences. Right? If you're in the hard sciences, then you're actually learning a thing. But the liberal arts no longer teach liberal arts. And they're not even liberal, right? They're just wild, leftist, woke nonsense. So what do colleges exist to do? Well, to give your kids a chance to party and waste your money. And also, colleges exist so that you can be credentialed, right? That's really what it's about, which means it's a filtering mechanism. It's a sorting mechanism, right? The reason that employers look at college degrees – we don't, by the way, at Daily Wire. The reason that most employers look at college degrees is because they look at the university you went to and they say, ah, this is a proxy for your IQ. You went to UCLA, probably means you have a higher IQ than if you went to a junior college somewhere. Now, that's not a very good indicator. It really isn't. But there's an easy way around that, which is just have people take the SAT and put that on their resume and then have an internship at a company. I mean, this is one of the ways you could do this. Don't waste $100,000 on a crap education and get $100,000 in debt. Instead, just go work for a company that you want to work for. And if the company wants to know if you're smart, show them your SAT score. I mean, that's you're just skipping the middleman, basically. There are a few ways, but that's going to take employers shifting how they think. It's going to take employers shifting how they approach business. I really don't think that UCLA is going to become, even moderate anytime in the near future. It's going to remain a woke leftist institution dedicated to the destruction of certain basic American ideas about equality before the law. So I'm starting to work myself on plans to put together ways for employers to be connected with prospective employees without having to go to college, because I think the college has become, in many cases, if you're not in the hard sciences or maths, college has become a bastion for indoctrination. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Back taxes. Call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Hunter in Idaho, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Hunter.
Hey, Mr. Shapiro, you've changed my life. So my question is, so governments enforcing lockdowns impede on people's liberties to move freely and do what we want, especially when it comes to making a living and providing for families. Would you say that the government is taking away negative freedoms when they are enforcing these lockdowns?
I mean, the answer is yes, but there are conditions under which the government does have the capacity to do that. So when it comes to externalities, for example, like you're not allowed to pollute in your backyard if it goes over into somebody else's backyard, for example. When it comes to transmissibility of disease that is widespread, then shutting down public gatherings, for example, is not necessarily anti the value of government. Like for a very long time in this country, there's been a lot of local authority to do this sort of stuff in times of pandemic, specifically because you're going around and basically, you know, the sort of analogy would be you're polluting the air in which somebody else is breathing, and therefore you're responsible for that. Now, there's not really a tort way of enforcing that from a libertarian perspective, saying you can't have a gathering over a certain number of people if it's going to force lack of social distancing. You know, that is within boundaries. If, however, let's say that the death rate on this thing goes down dramatically. Let's say that the only people who are infecting each other are young people. It's not hitting older people. We've protected the nursing homes. And this thing goes down to, you know, what the CDC originally said last month, the 0.26% death rate. And even lower. Let's say that it gets down to a 0.1% death rate. It looks like the flu. It's just a little more transmissible. Well, then I think that you're going to see politicians responding to that. And in fact, you have seen politicians responding to that overall. There are some stubborn public officials who have said we're never ending lockdown ever, ever, ever. Those are few and far between. Even in states like Michigan and New York, they're working to end the lockdowns because they understand the public cannot do this indefinitely. But, you know, as far as does the government have the power to prevent you from infecting somebody else with the disease, the answer is yes. The government does have the power to prevent you from infecting somebody else with a disease that could kill them. It's the remedy there is political, not per se constitutional, meaning that the American people have to stand up and balance those things. This is a balancing act. It's not just a pure case of the government has invaded my rights for a non-legitimate reason.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Hunter. Thanks so much for the call. Alex in Pennsylvania, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Alex.
Hello, Ben. Thank you for the graduation recording. I appreciate it.
Oh, great. I'm glad. I'm glad you enjoyed.
Question is for you. What are the hardest obstacles that the left and right face in today's society of 2020, in your opinion?
So on the left, the hardest problem is that the left has taken over the liberal wing of the party. So the liberal wing of the party was, I will fight to the death for your right to say something I disagree with. We can have an open conversation. We are in favor of broader personal freedoms and fewer economic freedoms, but we want to have the open conversation. You're seeing this kind of group on the left who are being frightened off by the woke left, which has suggested, you know, thought crimes and certain perspectives are verboten. I mean, I'm getting notes from people who are my liberal friends, you know, people who I disagree with on nearly everything. And they're emailing me going like, you were right all along about this cancel culture stuff. It's really bad. It's really pervasive and it's coming for us. I mean, there have been cases in the past few weeks in which somebody will tweet out simply a study suggesting that rioting and looting are bad and then get fired from their job. This actually happened to a guy named David Shore at Civics Analytics. He was actually fired from his job for tweeting out a finding. So people on the liberal wing of the left, they've been saying, guys, this is crazy. Like, we can't even have an open conversation. The liberals are going to have an internecine war with the people on their left who are more censorious by nature. On the right, there are a bunch of problems. I mean, there is the question of whether we're moving in a bigger government direction that is toward more quote-unquote nationalist goals. There's this battle between the nationalist conservatives and sort of libertarians who are traditionally smaller government. The government should not be given power because once you give the government the power, the left will take over the government power and then use it against you. There's a fight going on the right between, you know, sort of the wing that says that we have to appeal to particular crowds versus a wing that says you have to double down on what brought you here. There's a fight on the right also about the effectiveness of government measures in a time when we're really in a culture war. That's really been, I think, the biggest fight is that the Republican Party has been seen incorrectly on the right as a vehicle for fighting the culture war. And that's not correct. The culture war is fought outside of government. The left understands this. Right? The Democratic Party is a wing of the culture war, but it's not the leading wing of the culture war. The leading wing of the culture war is the New York Times. It's the media. It's Hollywood. The right doesn't have the media. The right doesn't have Hollywood. So instead, they've been fighting the culture war by being like, why doesn't Donald Trump say a thing? The Republicans elected a culture war president. The problem is that a culture war president, well, sometimes useful, doesn't necessarily do the job that the president needs to do. The president has two jobs. One is to be engaged in the culture war and to speak on behalf of American values and try to unify the country along the side of those values. And the second is to administer well. The president, weirdly enough, has done some good administration and some very bad PR. So there's a lot of conflict inside the right. I think that, you know, if, God forbid, Joe Biden wins the White House, if the polls continue to be this bad for the Senate, Republicans lose the Senate, the Republicans are in for a lot of rethinking after this election as to where they want to go. And there's going to be a pretty bloody battle inside the Republican Party as to which direction the party wishes to go. It's also true that if President Trump were to lose, I don't think President Trump goes away quietly. I don't think the President Trump just says, OK, well, I guess my job here is done. Catch you on the flip side. I think he probably tries to launch some sort of media company. I think there are a lot of people on the right who are big fans of President Trump and might follow him there. I think he's going to be the voice inside the Republican Party for quite a while, which could be a confusing moment for the Republican Party as well. So let's just put it this way. Rocky times ahead for both parties, even the Democrats, for whom the future looks a lot less grim than the Republican Party right now. Even the Democrats are about to experience some significant internecine warfare that could, in fact, turn them to a radical left that most Americans are not willing to follow. Alex, I appreciate the call. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by Jason Whitlock. He just joined the crew over at Outkick. We're going to be talking about NASCAR and LeBron James and all sorts of other good stuff. Plus, Newt Gingrich coming up next hour. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. California shattering single-day records for new COVID-19 cases and watching hospitalizations climb higher by the day. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he knows there are financial consequences to reimposing restrictions to stem the spread of the COVID-19.
We recognize the economic costs of what we are arguing for. We recognize the economic costs that COVID-19 has already impacted on the community. But we recognize now our responsibility to keep people healthy, keep people safe, and step up our efforts.
Newsom appears focused on the state's hospital capacity and has pointed to plenty of bed space as a defense of keeping sectors open. Texas and Florida reversed course and clamped down on bars again Friday in the nation's biggest retreat yet as the daily number of confirmed coronavirus infections in the U.S. surged to an all-time high of 40,000. The Minneapolis City Council has unanimously advanced a plan that could one day do away with the city's police department following unrest over the killing of George Floyd. Minneapolis City Council member Steve Fletcher says the council's action just sets the stage for reform.
It's a way of reducing the barriers that have prevented previous councils and previous mayors and previous community efforts from succeeding.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey.
If you vote for this, are you voting to abolish the police department? Or is this merely a cosmetic change where you add a bureaucratic layer, you change the name to peace officers, and you give them different uniforms?
Council voted Friday in favor of amending the city charter to replace the current department with a Department of Community Safety. President Trump has signed an executive order to protect monuments, memorials, and statues. Mr. Trump had promised the order earlier this week after police thwarted an attempt by protesters to pull down a statue of Andrew Jackson in a park across from the White House. This is townhall.com.
Factor pain relief. It's a natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces a new court battle over his unpaid taxes. The latest from the Media Alliance, Lawrence Rifkin.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is making waves of late, but not only because he plans to annex parts of the West Bank. He's demanding that the state pick up more than $250,000 in back taxes owed for such expenses as a bulletproof limousine, but more critically, for work done on the swimming pool and gardens at his private villa in a Tony seaside town. This has ruffled more than a few feathers at a time of sky-high unemployment stemming from the coronavirus pandemic, but also due to the fact that Netanyahu is worth an estimated $14 million, making him one of the country's wealthier politicians. I'm Lawrence Rifkin, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Senate's Justice Act is at a standstill as Democrats and Republicans argue over the bill's effectiveness in addressing police reform.
Republican Mitch McConnell says Democrats had no good reason to reject the bill crafted by the Senate's only black Republican.
Senator Scott offered a wide-open bipartisan amendment process, and they walked away.
But Minority Leader Charles Schumer accuses Republicans of not allowing enough input from Democrats.
Let's start over, the right way. The bipartisan way.
The GOP bill pushes for new restrictions on the use of things like chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Democrats insist those proposals don't go far enough. Bob Agnew reporting.
A journalist who covered President Trump's rally in Tulsa Saturday says he's tested positive for COVID-19. Oklahoma Watch reporter Paul Moniz said on Twitter he was notified Friday of his positive test result. Moniz said he was inside the BOK Center in Tulsa for about 6 hours on Saturday during Mr. Trump's rally. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Podcaster and the newest member of the Outkick family, which is awesome. Jason, congratulations on that.
Thank you, Ben. I got to admit, you're part of the inspiration of why I went independent.
Well, that's great. I mean, honestly, I think everybody should be independent. The networks just exert too much control, unfortunately, over the political content that people want to put out there, unless you're on one particular side. So Jason, let's talk about this news story. It's a news story from NASCAR. So have you seen the picture of the rope that came out today? So NASCAR finally released the picture of the rope. And it appears to me, so here was my evolution on the NASCAR news story. Originally, the story comes out. I figure NASCAR probably doesn't put that story out without some solid backing that this was, in fact, a racist incident. And everybody marches and everybody feels good about themselves, except that America is apparently endemically racist. Then it turns out that the news wasn't, in fact, the news. It was a door pull handle on a garage and had been there for a year and it had nothing to do with Bubba Wallace. And that breaks. And I'm like, well, it seems like people should have done their homework before jumping to the racism story. Then NASCAR releases the picture. And honestly, at this point, it seems like everybody went in with the best of intentions and it just ended up being the worst scenario. That basically the thing looks like a noose. It was not a noose. It was a door pull handle. They did a full FBI investigation with 15 agents and everybody can go back to their day job. But that's not what's happening. It seems like everybody is still involved in pushing a secondary racist narrative now. How did the story unfold for you?
For me, I thought NASCAR made a huge mistake. They heard about the deal at, let's say, 6 p.m., and by 10 p.m., they've released a statement to the media. That makes no sense. That's not how you run a major corporation. The first thought someone has when they're a major corporation is, How do I protect the corporation? How do I protect the employee? How do I protect the investigation? And then how do I deal with the media? They went straight to dealing with the media. They didn't offer themselves or Bubba Wallace or anybody any real protection. And I'm just sorry, for me, I'm a bit cynical, and I think with all of these sports leagues leaning so heavily into Black Lives Matter and Colin Kaepernick is now the greatest thing in the world, and we're all holding hands and we're all against racism. And look, all of that sounds awesome on the surface, but we've just gone to where we're just demonizing any and everybody. And so I just felt like NASCAR was trying to lean into this Black Lives Matter movement the way everybody else is. They think it's good for business. I think it helped them. The race was rain delayed. I think it helped them with their ratings. It put them at the top of the national news cycle. And I think they thought there was a positive to this rather than doing the due diligence and finding out whether this was truly a hate crime or if this was some sort of misunderstanding. And they should have been able to figure that out within 12, 24 hours rather easily. People figured it out on the Internet very quickly. Some people that follow NASCAR were provided information. They started showing pictures from the 2019 deal from the rope hanging there, and there are other people that are saying it was there as early as 2017. You can find a picture of it on NASCAR's own website. So I just thought NASCAR rushed in and tried to exploit this for attention.
So, Jason, we've been watching, as you mentioned, all these sports leagues embracing this particular message for a while, and I'm frankly amazed at so many folks on the political left who suddenly have become very sincere in their support for corporations. All the same people who think that corporations are cynical profit-making machines suddenly abandon their perspective that corporations are cynical profit-making machines when those cynical profit-making machines start parroting messages they like back to them in order to sell them product.
It's incredible. Ben, what blows my mind is that the Black Lives Matter movement, the founders of the movement, they're on record that their ideological inspiration is Marxist, that that's at the foundation of the organization. I'm not sure if a lot of people even understand what Marxism is, that it's anti-religious, that it's the foundation of communism, that it is not a system that is fair to people of color or just people in general. And then if you hold any religious beliefs, it's really hostile towards you. And so when I think about the NFL and a league that has leaned into for 50 years all these traditional American values and patriotism and love of country, and to think the San Francisco 49ers are flying a Black Lives Matter flag above their stadium right next to the American flag, it just blows my mind. And to see – I get why the – hypocrites in the media are celebrating these corporations, because this is a message that a lot of people in the media seem to want to embrace, that, you know, America is inherently evil and somehow we're the worst country in the world as it comes to race relations. When the reality is, if you've traveled anywhere, if you've studied other cultures, other countries, we're actually the world leaders in terms of racial progress. Nobody has more diversity than us. Nobody deals with that diversity better than we have. And nothing deals with it better than sports. Somehow the media has changed the equation. I think it's social media has changed the equation that football is a bastion for bigotry and America is inherently bigoted and, you know, unreversibly bigoted. They just ignore our whole history of progress in this country. And, you know, it just drives me crazy, but it also has created an opportunity for me as a media person to, you know, build a site and counter these popular media narratives and try to paint a truthful picture for people that I think a lot of Americans are thirsting for.
Yeah, Jason, one of the things that we've been seeing is players like LeBron James being elevated to the status of media moguls. And listen, everybody has a right to speak their opinion. I'm not saying that LeBron James needs to just play basketball or anything like that. He's perfectly entitled to his opinion. I just find it kind of ironic that LeBron James has nothing to say about the Chinese communist government when he's making money off the Chinese communist government, just like the rest of the NBA. But he has plenty to say about the evils of the United States. Again, he can choose how he uses his voice, but I think that failing to point out the irony there is certainly misleading.
I think LeBron James has no expertise in the media, and to see him, they just announced, I think on Business Week, that he's starting some media corporation, and so there's going to be parroting his views or whatever views his political operatives have given him. They're going to be parroting those views. People in the media need jobs, and so more power to him, give those jobs. But I'm just not sure if America needs more agenda-driven media who are just parroting these anti-American views. I'm not sure if we need more of that. And listen, I'm not – everybody that pays taxes has a right to voice their opinion about the country that they live in. I get it. But we don't have to pretend that LeBron James is some sort of expert on these topics he's addressing, because he's not. I've made this analogy many times, and it offends LeBron James supporters. But if they really evaluated LeBron James and the way he uses social media – the way he conducts himself in interviews, the way he conducts himself as a person, he's just Black Donald Trump. And people get upset when I say that, but they're both very attention-starved. They both can be very inarticulate. They both can be hyperbolic in their use of social media. LeBron James, the Ahmaud Murray tragedy in Georgia or whatever, tweeting out that this is proof that we're literally hunted every day, every time we step out of our house. If Donald Trump tweeted something like that about white people or just about anything, people would call that one of the most ludicrous, irresponsible statements ever. It's the same thing with LeBron James. He's not that articulate. He's not an expert on all these topics he's trying to be an expert on. And a lot of his rhetoric, both out of his mouth and off his fingers over social media, is irresponsible.
And one of the things that's happened in sports, Jason.
Let me add one more thing. And they're both very privileged. I've made this argument as well. There's a great privilege that comes with being a great athlete. I mean, and so when God kisses you athletically the way that it did LeBron James, it creates a privilege and a pampering that started when LeBron James was probably 10 years old. Once people discovered he had this great athleticism, you get treated completely different. I say that as someone who was an athlete, a relatively good one all the way through college, but I also say that having grown up with Jeff George, who was the number one pick in the NFL draft, as freakish an athlete as LeBron James was, I grew up with the guy. I saw the way we treated him and everyone else treated him. It creates great privilege. That is another reason why I just say a lot of this stuff, there's so much hypocrisy to this criticism of certain people and President Trump or whatever, and we never evaluate the people authoring these criticisms. They're really just the same person. And again, I'll just say it again, LeBron James, Donald Trump, birds of the same feather.
Jason, I've been criticized before on this program, been trending on Twitter for the great crime of suggesting that sports, for a lot of people, is sort of a haven from everyday life. That if you're just a normal sports watcher, you come home from work, you put your feet up on the table, and you want to watch a basketball game, and very often you don't want to hear political messaging. If you want to hear political messaging, you head on over to CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. There's plenty of it out there. But typically, if you're tuned into an NFL game on a Sunday watching with your kids, you're really not interested in watching politics. And I've suggested that when you have these leagues that are basically pushing a message that is significantly, I'd say, semantically overloaded. As I've said before, there's not a person in America, or if there are, they're very few and far between, who don't believe that Black people should be treated as equals in the United States, because they are equals in the United States and should be treated as equals in the United States. But that's not exactly what's going on right here. When more radical messages start being pushed by the league to the point where Colin Kaepernick is being treated as a spokesperson for the league. I've suggested that that's going to lead a lot of Americans to turn off the TV, not because they're racist, but because they are called racist for turning off the TV, because they are called racist for not going along with Colin Kaepernick's extraordinarily radical agenda and not basically kneeling with Colin Kaepernick now. And you get criticized for this. I mean, the idea is that you are the bad guy if you point out that sports for most people is a part of life that is away from the normal kind of the kind of normal conflict of life. It's a place where you go to just think about something else. You think about a game. You watch people perform athletically, and that's it. Do you think that these sports leagues are going to start losing audience the more political they get? Because I really do think they will, not even because people disagree with the message, but just because I don't want to be hit with politics over the head every time I watch what normally is sort of an apolitical sporting event.
I don't want to watch a very hyper illogical argument about politics either. And, yeah, I do think the sports leagues are going to pay a price for this. Look, the whole messaging of Black Lives Matters and the whole discussion we're having about race in this country over the last decade, this big public discussion, is about we're victims. We are victims. Black people, we're victims in this society. If you understand the platform, the tenets of sports, victimhood isn't a part of that. Sports is about a meritocracy. Sports is about the conqueror, the champion. Trust me, if Muhammad Ali's record in boxing was 25-25, he would not be a legend. He was a legend because he conquered damn near everybody he faced in the ring. And so it wasn't about Muhammad Ali being a victim. It was about all that he overcame and became a champion. That's what sports fans bring to the table, or the biases they bring to the table, is like, hey, man, sports aren't really about victimhood. And so you've seen these sports TV networks turn a lot of the discussion about sports, and particularly Colin Kaepernick, into he's a victim. I was like, holy cow, this totally contradicts the 100-year history of sports and America sports watching and the ideals that sports built themselves around to become so powerful in American culture. They're totally going the other direction. Then when you add on the illogic to it, again, these guys with the protesting during the national anthem, they didn't spark a conversation about police brutality. They sparked a conversation about the appropriateness of protesting during the national anthem. Their support of Black Lives Matter, I'll go back to it again and just how illogical it is. All of this hostility towards the police is actually hurting black people. Murder rates in these major cities, in these black poor communities, are starting to skyrocket because the police can't effectively do their job. And so the strategy of all this protest, all this demification of the police and the hostility towards the police is actually hurting black people. I get George Floyd was a tragedy. For anybody to watch what happened to him on video, it was sickening. That does not happen very often. It just doesn't. The stats, the data, the years of research prove that is really unlikely to happen to somebody. But do we see murder rates in poor black communities at an astronomical level? Are we seeing young black men killed 7,000-8,000 a year by other black men? Yes, we are. That is commonplace. And we're escalating that murder rate by creating all this hostility towards the police. The thing is just illogical, and you can only jam so much illogic down people's throats before they just said, I've had enough. I need to watch or do something else. I have no idea why sport – well, I do understand why sports thinks it's a good idea, because corporations, their advertising partners, are jamming it down their throats.
Well, Jason Whitlock, TV personality, radio host, podcaster, newest member of the OutKick family. Congratulations again on the OutKick move, Jason. And good luck to you. Thanks for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate you having me.
Coming up, We're going to get to more government taxes. You ready for that? That sound great to you? The states are now considering a bevy of new taxes in the aftermath of the pandemic and the economic downturn. Obviously, that means it's time to suck more money out of the private sector and into the giant gaping maw of government. We'll get to that momentarily. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, you ready for some new taxes? Things are going so well, I feel like we should pile some new taxes on top of this sucker. According to the Washington Post, governments across the country are now eyeing new taxes on pretty much everything. Philadelphia has increased fees on parking and raised wage taxes on workers who reside outside the city. Lori Lightfoot in Chicago said this month she couldn't rule out a property tax increase to cover her city's $700 million budget shortfall. Turns out that when you waste hundreds of millions of dollars for years on end, they should have saved that money and not used it on stupid bullcrap, because you're going to have to go back to the taxpayer. From New York to Seattle, other states and municipalities have considered a wide array of prospective rate hikes in response to major drops in once reliable sources of incomes and months of failed attempts to get Congress to authorize more federal aid. Nashville took the eye-popping step in June to increase property taxes by 34%. People were like, that sounds terrible. Unlike the federal government, which can cut taxes and rack up huge deficits with impunity, localities generally are supposed to balance their budget every year, or at least they're supposed to pretend that they're balancing their budgets. What they actually do is they just falsify the stats. And they say things like, don't worry, you know those contracts that we made with the union, and we're going to put everybody's money in a pension fund? It'll probably earn like 12% a year. We're not going to have to pay that out like ever, because, you know, we'll put it in the stocks, and it'll probably pay out 12% a year. this is what we did in California. We just lied about CalPERS, for example. They're like, we have no budget deficit here. Because, after all, this contract we have signed with our teachers' unions, well, that contract, you know, where we give out these defined benefits, it's not defined contributions, it's defined benefits, we'll simply say that it'll probably accrue year on year like 7.5%, which is insane. If Warren Buffett could make 7.5%, he'd be even richer than he is. Right? New tax increases also help local governments offset the economic carnage caused by rampant unemployment and major slowdowns in shopping and tourism. But the Washington Post says doing so is a risky proposition. It could imperil the country's economic recovery. Oh, wait. Is the Washington Post acknowledging that when you raise taxes too high, it hurts the economy? Well done, Washington Post. I'm glad to notice this. In New York, the senators and assembly members issued a joint public statement this month calling on the state to tax higher income earners to close a sky-high $17 billion budget deficit. Some New York legislators are targeting Amazon, Facebook, Google, and tech giants. The same thing is happening in California as well. So they're just going to raise taxes on everybody. Sounds fan-freaking-tastic. Sounds good. Now, of course, what this will actually do is when you raise taxes on people, they save more of their money. They don't spend as much of their money. When you tax employers, the employers don't hire as many people. You can easily stagnate an economy with very, very high taxation, and particularly with high regulation and high taxation in a time with no consumption. Raising taxes in an economy where the consumption rates are already extremely low, very dangerous stuff, but Democrats have no alternative. They blew out all the money. They've already spent it. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, to talk about President Trump's prospects in the upcoming election. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Descent is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully,
It appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
337-6949.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
I'll see you later. Okay. So Dr. Pui is the best of the best of the leukemia doctors at St. Jude. And we very quickly found out how much he loves his patients. One of our first visits with Dr. Pui, and he was kind of running through the protocol and naming off all the medications. And he said, but don't worry, you don't pay that. St. Jude pays that. Just to think, like, and what if they didn't?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. He has a brand new book out this week, Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Speaker Gingrich, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be with you, as always. You always have a fun show.
So why don't we start with a very simple and obvious question, which is, it seems pretty obvious at this point why President Trump needs to win a second term with the country on fire, the Democratic Party hesitating on whether they want to tear down monuments of Jefferson and George Washington. It seems like the stakes have never been higher. In 2016, I sat out the election because I figured, okay, well, let's say worst comes to worst, like really worst comes to worst, and Hillary Clinton is elected and Republicans retain the Senate. Yeah, it'll be bad, but it's not going to be like earth-shatteringly end of the world bad. Now it feels like if Joe Biden wins the election and he takes the Senate along with him, it's going to be earth-shatteringly end of the world bad. How bad do things get if Democrats take over?
Oh, I think, look, I think you have to think about a Biden, Pelosi, Schumer machine, and I think that they would overnight try to make this a radically different country. And, you know, when you see, for example, Governor Cuomo say he doesn't mind if people tear down statues because, after all, it makes them feel good, you realize what a strange direction the Democratic Party has taken. Or you have the mayor of Seattle explain that the six-block area taken over by thugs and looters, that it'll be a summer of love, which I think was a reference back to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco in the mid-60s. And now, you know, four shootings and a rape later, well, it didn't quite work out that way. Or Chicago, which the Democrats have had the mayor's office for 89 years, since 1931, they had 102 Americans shot this last weekend in Chicago. And people just kind of shrug. And it's, you know, I think the Democrats' policies have failed. And I think that if they get control of everything, we will be startled at how many really bad things they do.
Now, Speaker Gingrich, one of the things that's happened here, and it's very bizarre, is that Hillary Clinton obviously was a deeply unpopular candidate. By polling data, people just didn't like Hillary. And it turned out the 2016 election was not so much a referendum on President Trump as it was a referendum on Hillary Clinton, where the American people looked at her and looked at Trump and said, if I'm undecided, I'm voting Trump. It seems like by polling data, it's precisely the reverse right now. If people don't like Biden and they don't like Trump, they're breaking heavily in favor of Joe Biden. He's just not hated the way that Hillary Clinton is. And there's a widespread perception that he's not as threatening as Hillary Clinton was, mainly because he seems kind of comatose. I mean, he's barely campaigning. He's in his basement. He's
right.
He's gaffing a lot, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything. And my going theory of the election right now may be that it actually is quite difficult to beat a dead horse. And Joe Biden is a dead horse.
Well, I think that if they can keep him in the basement long enough, his chance of winning is much better than if he comes out of the basement. And I think every time he does come out of the basement, he just says things that are wrong. You know, 2 weeks ago, he explained he was running for the Senate. This week in Pennsylvania, he explained that over 100 million Americans had died from the virus. And you begin to realize that you potentially could have a president who has no idea what's going on. And that would put the government basically in the hands of Pelosi and Schumer, who do know what's going on and who would be delighted to have a really weak Democratic president who would do what they wanted.
Yeah, Speaker Gingrich.
That's why. But I agree with you. I think the president. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the big questions that I have about that is I wonder if even Pelosi and Schumer are in charge of the party anymore. I mean, we've seen the AOC wing of the party sweep away a couple of incumbent Congress people in New York. We've seen Nancy Pelosi now openly discussing the possibility of getting rid of statues. Joe Biden has declined comment on that sort of stuff. It seems like even the Pelosi-Schumer wing of the Democratic Party is being dragged, not really kicking and screaming, but certainly dragged to the far left. I wonder if even they are going to be a bulwark against the far left of their own party.
No, they're not going to be a bulwark. You know, I think that there's a first of all, yeah, they are very liberal. I mean, Pelosi has become an honest representative of the most left part of San Francisco. Their fundraisers are very liberal. The money comes places that are very liberal. And so I think in that sense, they're not as different from the sort of AOCs of the world. But the other side of that is, you know, when Pelosi brings up a $3 trillion bill, which includes a whole series of very radical ideas, she gets 207 Democrats who voted for it. There are, for all practical purposes, not more than six or seven moderate Democrats in the House. They all range from liberal to extraordinarily liberal to radical. And so that would be the pressure, and that's the kind of government they would create. I mean, if you didn't have Trump standing in the way, it would be amazing what they would do to virtually every American value and the direction they would go in. And you see this when you watch the governors in the blue states and the way in which they handled the shutdown. So, you know, marijuana stores were essential and had to stay open, but churches had to close, would be an example. Or Planned Parenthood had to stay open for abortions, but small businesses couldn't stay open. And so I think it's a very interesting time for us to look and see, you know, what are these people really like? What are they really doing? And by the way, you see it in part in terms of the economy. The 10 states with the highest unemployment rate are all blue states. And the states that have the lowest unemployment rate are all states that voted for Trump because they have a different attitude about going back to work and about the economy and what they're trying to accomplish.
We're speaking with Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. His new book is Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. So looking at sort of the polling data right now, Speaker Gingrich, things look very, very ugly for the Republicans. There's a new Fox News poll out that shows President Trump trailing in virtually every state, all the swing states, and many of the states that should not be swing states, states like Georgia, he's down by two, according to the Fox News poll. He's down by one in Texas, which, of course, is end of world time for Republicans. What does President Trump need to do to turn this around? First, how seriously do you take those polls? Because it's not just one poll, it's many polls at this point. And two, what does Trump need to do to turn this around? Because he is down in the Real Clear Politics polling average by almost double digits.
Yeah, I don't take the polls very seriously at this stage. George H.W. Bush was 19 points behind Dukakis in late May and ended up beating him by eight, so that one out of every four Americans switched their vote during the campaign. I was down in the race. I'd lost twice. The third time when I finally won, I was down 51-37 in September, and I won 54-46. So polls can change when people get new information and when they see what the opportunities are. I think the president has to do three things. They're pretty straightforward. One, he has to keep working to get the economy growing again. He has to convince people that the magic that brought us to the lowest black unemployment rate and the lowest Latino unemployment rate, that he still has it, and that if you reelect him, this economy will recover dramatically faster than if you elect the Biden, Pelosi, Schumer team. Second, I think he has to define Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer, remind people what they stand for. I mean, you know, the bill that they passed in the House, for example, would give a $1,200 check to every illegal immigrant to sort of encourage them. Now, why Democrats think we need to encourage people to come here as illegal immigrants is beyond me. But they've committed those kind of things over and over again, and I think at some point the Trump campaign has to very calmly lay out, this is what, you know, this is what we're up against. Third, I think he should send up a series of very bold, very visionary ideas and be in a position to really break loose so that people say, yeah, that's what I want. I would like to see him have a one-year suspension of the payroll tax, which would dramatically stimulate small business. I'd like to see 100% expensing for businesses so they could move all of their manufacturing out of China and bring it back home. And I'd like to see him have an infrastructure program designed to make us have as good or better a transportation system as China has. And I think those kind of bold things, so people could say, oh, yeah, if I vote for Trump, these are the positive things that will happen in the second term. And if I vote for Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer, these are the negative things that will happen. I think that contrast could end up winning the election very decisively.
Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, his new book, Trump and the American Future, Solving Great Problems of Our Time. So it seems like the two issues that are on the forefront of everybody's mind right now, obviously, are COVID-19 and also the racial unrest that is plaguing the country right now. On COVID-19, the federal government actually did a pretty good job getting the resources to various governments. I've told people in the administration that I think it's absolute political malpractice for them not to put out an ad just showing every Democratic governor thanking the Trump administration for all the things that the Trump administration provided them. And that tape is widely available of Andrew Cuomo and Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom in California. And yet that hasn't really been promoted by the White House or the Trump campaign to this point. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to COVID-19, it seems to me that the president has a pretty good case to make here that the spike that we are currently seeing is largely due, at least in major parts, to an entire media and political infrastructure that basically suggested you could go out, protest in the streets right next to people without masks, and there would be no consequences to this. And it seems like he's been missing out on that opportunity as well. So I wanted to get your take on the president's political handling of COVID, not what the administration did, which I think largely is what was necessary, but the administration's political handling of the messaging around COVID.
Yeah, I think they've been much too passive. And I agree with you. I mean, I was struck how many governors have said wonderful things about Trump, not that they're going to campaign for him. But in fact, in almost every case, he met or exceeded their expectations, and they said so publicly. On the current spike, I honestly don't understand what's going on. In Florida, where one of my daughters live, for example, the resurgence is a little bit of a surprise. It hasn't resurged in Georgia yet. So I don't understand how the disease is operating at the present time. I mean, I'm talking to you from Rome, where they got in so much trouble that they closed the entire country for 10 weeks. And only grocery stores and pharmacies and gas stations were open. Everything else was closed. And you could not be out in the street without a legitimate purpose, or you could be fined up to $3,200. So they really just crunched the entire system for 10 weeks. And as a result, right now, they're down to about 35 new cases a day. And it looks like they're very close to not having it completely under control. So I don't quite know what's going on. And frankly, if part of it is a function that we're now testing 500,000 people a day, and we're discovering a lot of people whose case was so mild they didn't know they had it. Well, I'm not sure how much we should worry about those kind of numbers. Now, the ones that are being hospitalized or the ones that have an intensive care unit problem, those I think we have to worry about, and those are better indicators of where real problems are and where they're not. But they're still pretty isolated.
So Speaker Gingrich, on the unrest, I've been getting a lot of notes from Republicans, people who are very strong Trump supporters, people who really backed him strongly in 2016, disappointed that he hasn't done more to quell the unrest, that it looks ineffective, that the administration hasn't done more to stop the fact that major cities were shut down for literally a week. I mean, I'm from L.A. My entire city was shut down. We were curfewed at 6 p.m. for a week so that rioters and looters could go around making trouble. And the police could then be punished for dealing with it. And there are a lot of Republicans who are very upset that the administration hasn't done more. You know, it's hard to tell what exactly the administration could have done, given the divisions between state, local, and federal government. What do you think the president should have done? What should he do right now to quell a lot of the unrest that continues to plague major cities?
I think he should do what he did on Hannity last night. I mean, he should talk very directly and very bluntly. You know, it's the governor of Washington State who has failed to take out the six square blocks that have seceded to the United States. Now, that may be crumbling now and it may fall apart. But, you know, the mayor and the city council were actually aiding and abetting the people who were kicking out the police. They went through, I think, 9 days of a confrontation where the police were not allowed to defend themselves. New York, the insanity of the mayor, who may be the worst mayor in the country, who now wants to cut $1.3 billion out of the police budget while crime is going up. I think the president, one, has to simply directly talk about it and talk about it very aggressively. And this is part of why I talk about 102 Americans being shot over the weekend in Chicago. I mean, why is that not a national crisis? Why isn't the mayor or the president demanding that Governor Pritzker call out the Illinois National Guard? This whole notion that we're not helpless. And I think the president has been a little bit confused because, first of all, the propaganda media has been so relentlessly hostile and so totally dishonest about what's going on. You know, finally, maybe, for example, the Democratic state senator who was a gay liberal Democrat who got beaten up in Madison 2 days ago began to break through a little bit. CBS actually covered it. And it was a little hard not to say there's violence. But I think for a long stretch there, you know, anything Trump did was going to scream racism. And the counter pressures on him were enormous. Now, I think what's happened is, after enough days of watching people break into Nike stores and run off.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. Jefferson,
hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
13 of Biden's staff were actually sending money to Minneapolis to bail out looters. And I think this gives you a flavor of where the two parties are. So if you want anarchy, Tom Cotton has a new ad out that says basically vote for Biden and let the anarchy come to your town.
Well, Speaker Gingrich, really appreciate your time. His book is Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. Final quick question for you. If you had to ballpark President Trump's chances of reelection right now, I know it's early, there's plenty of stuff to happen. This is the most crazy news cycle in modern American history. If you had to ballpark his chances at remaining president in November, what would you put those chances at?
Oh, 70 or 80%. I think
eventually. Okay, Speaker Gingrich.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. The book, again, is Trump and the American Future, Solving the Great Problems of Our Time. All righty, in just a minute, we're going to get to all of your COVID-19 updates. A few stats that may put some things in context. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let us talk about the fact that your internet activity, it is really not protected. Right? Your internet freedom, it's there, but your data is also out there, and there are a lot of people trying to take advantage of that data, and this is why you need ExpressVPN. See, the problem with a lot of big tech companies is that not only do they censor what you read, they actually track what you do online. They'll track what you're searching for, the videos you watch, everything you click. They'll use the data to serve you ads. They can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, the tech companies cannot see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. If that sounds complicated, it isn't. ExpressVPN software takes just 1 minute to set up on your computer or phone. You tap one button. You are now protected. So go check them out right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. who doesn't like to save money, right? Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. Expressvpn.com/Ben to protect your data today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Already coming up, we'll give you some COVID-19 updates. And incredible, media continue to pretend that blue states are all right and red states are the real problem. Data don't back that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So as COVID spreads across the country, I think we ought to be lectured by the guy who let it rage out of control in his state, killing about 25,000 people somewhere in that neighborhood. That'd be Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo, I mean, talk about a man with just – the man has stones, I'll tell you that. You let COVID run roughshod through your nursing homes. You ship the elderly with COVID back into the nursing homes. It kills like over 20,000 people in your state. And then you lecture other governors about how they played politics with this thing. Here's Andrew Cuomo, who made his bones off the back of horrible policy that ended up killing a lot of human beings. Here's Andrew Cuomo lecturing other governors about playing politics.
Look at the numbers. You played politics with this virus and you lost. You told the people of your state and you told the people of this country, White House, don't worry about it. Just open up, go about your business. This is all democratic hyperbole. Oh, really? Now you see 27 states with the numbers going up. You see the death projections going up. You see the economy going down. It was never politics. It was always science. And they were in denial. And denial is not a life strategy.
Really? They were in denial. You're still going around pretending you did a good job, dude. I mean, it's really incredible. That tool bag, who, again, was shipping the elderly with COVID back into the nursing home. Like, the one thing the governors have done that has stopped the death is to do what Ron DeSantis in Florida did and protect the nursing homes. That's really, like, the only policy that has been guaranteed to stop this thing. Because what we are seeing now is that states that heavily locked down, like California, are getting walloped. And states that didn't heavily lock down, like Texas, are getting walloped. Everybody's getting walloped right now. Right? If it didn't hit hard in the beginning, it's hitting hard now. What's the difference in the death rates? The difference is some of these states didn't let this thing run through their entire nursing home system. In Pennsylvania, they did. They have a high death rate in Pennsylvania. In fact, let's just take a brief look at deaths per million. Deaths per million population based on state. Turns out, Andrew Cuomo, terrible governor. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad governor. New York governor currently yelling at Ron DeSantis. 1,613 deaths per 1 million population. Florida, per 1 million population, 155. By the way, Michigan, with Gretchen Whitmer, the best, the best. She has a big profile in the New York Times Magazine. She's done amazing, amazing. 614 deaths per 1 million population. Florida, 155 per million population. Even Ohio, with Mike DeWine, right, who really shut it down heavily and took a lot of the same measures as some of the Democratic governors. His death per million rate, 239 per 1 million. Florida is still at 155. So maybe it gets a lot worse in Florida. But at this point, for Cuomo to lecture anybody else, that's nuts. That is just plain nuts. Okay, have yourself a relaxing weekend. Try not to infect anyone or be infected by anyone. Try not to burn places down or tear down a statue. Just enjoy your family instead. Please, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. As coronavirus cases spike in parts of the country, businesses and employees are grappling with how to safely go to work.
In New York City, restaurateur Jenny Christensen says she's thrilled to reopen her Horns Hook Tavern with outdoor seating now allowed.
They have to be 6 feet apart, chair to chair, groups of up to 10 can be together.
But in Oakland, California, a judge has granted an injunction requested by a group of McDonald's workers after an outbreak sickened at least 35 employees and their families. One worker says they were given dog diapers and told to make their own masks. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Governor Greg Abbott has halted elective surgeries in Texas's biggest counties.
Abbott also says the state would pause its reopening as it deals with a surge in coronavirus cases and hospitalizations that has made it one of the nation's virus hotspots. The suspension of elective surgeries is designed to protect hospital space in the Dallas, Houston, Austin, and San Antonio areas. Statewide, the number of COVID-19 patients has more than doubled in 2 weeks. Texas has reported more than 11,000 new cases in the previous 2 days alone. John Scott reporting.
The Senate has passed a bill that would slap sanctions on China over its interference in Hong Kong.
The legislation was drafted by Democrat Chris Van Hollen and Republican Pat Toomey. It targets both individuals and entities, as well as the banks they do business with, if they interfere with Hong Kong's semi-independence. Van Hollen told colleagues on the Senate floor, China's snuffing out the freedoms that exist in Hong Kong. The Senate also passed a resolution from Senator Josh Hawley condemning the proposed national security law. Hawley said it's time to send Beijing a message that, quote, its attempts to steamroll and destroy the liberties of the people of Hong Kong will not go unnoticed. Bob Agnew reporting.
More of these stories at townhall.com.
Beef Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
AT&T, $76 a month. Verizon Wireless, $83 a month. Sprint, $92 a month. That's what the average family of four is saving a month by switching to PureTalk USA. PureTalk will give you unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. Go to PureTalkUSA.com, enter the promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. PureTalkUSA.com, promo code HALFOFF. PureTalk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Facebook says it will begin to label all rule-breaking posts.
In a dramatic election year reversal, Facebook has announced it will now flag all newsworthy posts from politicians that break its rules. In a statement on his Facebook page, CEO Mark Zuckerberg wrote, "The policies we're implementing today are designed to address the reality of the challenges our country is facing and how they're showing up across our community." Zuckerberg added that Facebook will begin adding labels to all posts about voting and direct users to authoritative information from state and local election officials. Facebook is also banning false claims intended to discourage voting. I'm Mike Gracia.
Federal appeals court Friday ruled against the Trump administration in its transfer of $2.5 billion from military construction projects to build sections of the U.S. border wall with Mexico, ruling it illegally sidestepped Congress, which gets to decide how to use the funds. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A spacewalking astronaut has added to the millions of pieces of junk orbiting the Earth. Chris Cassidy lost a small mirror Friday as soon as he stepped out of the International Space Station for battery work.
Cassidy says it floated away at about a foot per second. Mission Control says it somehow became detached from Cassidy's spacesuit and poses no risk to the space station. Spacewalking astronauts wear a wrist mirror on each sleeve to get a better view while working. The mirror is just 5 by 3 inches, and together with its band, has a mass of barely one-tenth of a pound. Rich Thomason reporting.
The NBA says 16 players tested positive for coronavirus in the first wave of mandatory tests done in preparation for the restart of the season. Those 16 players were part of a pool of 302 tested Tuesday. Tests are continuing for all 22 teams that will be participating in the restart at the Disney campus near Orlando, Florida next month. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute is pleased to announce the opening of its first office on the East Coast. You see, the office is in the New York City suburb of White Plains and will also serve New Jersey. Folks, the number of religious liberty requests for help from New York and New Jersey have greatly increased.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
First assignment, the first was guarding Hillary Clinton.
I'm not surprised.
Well, first Hillary lost, and now Joe Biden apparently thinks that he's running for the Senate or something. And he's not quite sure about that Wuhan red death, the COVID, and how many people have died. It might have been 120 million. You know, Democrats, 120 million. That's a third of the population may have died. It was. I want to defend Joe Biden this morning because it was a momentary slip, not like his usual gaffes. He kind of got it right a moment later. And a lot of people are showing the video and posting the video. Because I'm not CNN or MSNBC, I'm going to give Joe Biden a fair shake today because I'm more fair than CNN or MSNBC. And as such, you know, I higher journalistic standards. I left journalism a long time ago, but when I left, I still left with higher journalistic standards that are available, that are available or being exercised today. That's for sure. Boy, is that for sure. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the Senate and the Democrats in the House, derailing Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott's police reform bill because they're racist, you know, and he's black, and they don't want him leading it. They want white people leading it. So Nancy Pelosi is leading the police reform bill. See, the Senate bill, the Republican bill, is not sufficiently anti-police, and the Democrats demand that it be anti-police, more anti-police than you might imagine. They're an extremely anti-police party. They're pro-looting and arson and mayhem and rioting. And in fact, Nancy Pelosi, I was reading the Washington Post today because I have to, it's my job. And Pelosi resists call for Barr's impeachment, comma, labels Attorney General, quote, a mess, end quote. That's the headline in the Washington Post here in the A section. And they got John Wagner and Robert Costa got a nice exclusive interview with Nancy Pelosi. And they just sat there and let her attack, Donald Trump, of course, and William Barr, the last honest man in Washington, the guy who's looking to uncover the truth. And the Washington Post is not. John Wagner and Robert Costa are not truth people. They're party line people. They just regurgitate what they've been tube fed dutifully because that's their role in our society. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number, as usual. We're quite consistent in that regard. And reading this piece, this Pelosi piece, she says some pretty wild-eyed stuff, some crazy stuff. I don't think they posted audio of this on the on Al Gore's Amazing Internet or anything, but Pelosi said that the Senate Republicans need to figure out how to come toward her bill, you see, her bill, because they don't want that black guy bill. They want the white guy bill. And Senator Tim Scott's bill is not sufficiently anti-police. And here's what she said, and I couldn't help but think of Yasser Arafat when I read this. She's the new Yasser Arafat of American politics. You know, they have their mobs in the street, and they're tearing down. You see, Philadelphia is getting rid of their Christopher Columbus statue, and they're going to do it kind of quietly, Christopher Columbus. And they're tearing down Francis Scott Key and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, and then the bust of George Washington, and that's out west, most of it. And George Washington bust at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. was toppled and vandalized. And they're coming after everything. And Pelosi says here that it's time that we reassess what we think about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, you know, because a long time ago, in case this is news to anyone, there was slavery centuries ago, and it's remarkable. We immediately started putting an end to it as soon as we signed the Declaration of Independence or months thereafter, see Vermont. And she is interested in reassessing our take on George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and other founders because, you know, they were white and Pelosi's not. She's a woman of color like Rachel Dolezal. She's, of course, white as the driven snow and as corrupt as any third world banana republic AK-47 toting beret wearing lunatic. She said Pelosi said, Senate Republicans should figure out, this is what this Washington Post writing this, should figure out how to come toward the House's bill rather than the other way around. And listen to her quote. That's Costa writing and Wagner writing for the party. And then there's the quote from Pelosi here, utterly Yasser Arafat. She said, I don't think the street will accept no action. Now, that would be a little less sinister and evil if they didn't have violent mobs looting and attacking historic churches and torching them and setting them on fire and shooting to death retired police officers and setting up the Chud Zone in Seattle. And how many people were shot there? There's the high school graduate, 24 hours after he graduated high school, was shot to death in the Chud Zone. And nobody cares. Nobody knows his name. Black lives don't matter to these people. Politics, power matter to these people. I don't think the street will accept no action. The street. She's referring to the violent mobs that the Democrat Party has fielded across the country that has been sacking, looting, burning, and plundering our cities. She's using it. This is her using that as a tool, as a device to coerce political gain, and that's the Democrat Party today. They will burn your house down. They will shoot and kill people. They will loot and sack, and then they will demand that you know, the street. She says, the street, really, Madam Arafat? Are you kidding me? I guess she'd be Yasser Era scurvy, Yasser Era skinny. And that's a direct threat from the Speaker of the House, and it is, it's in the fourth to the last paragraph in this story. It should be the headline, really. The headline should be, Pelosi threatens national violence if Republicans don't vote for her version of the bill, which is, of course, extremely anti-police. It bans the chokehold, but it doesn't really. It bans no-knock warrants, but only kind of. And it puts together a database that they would make public so that the Democrats could threaten police officers and their families in their homes, which is their goal. In New York, police commander, deputy commander, resigned 30 years on the force, because he's had quite enough. The crime rate, of course, skyrocketing. And in New York, the homicides in particular skyrocketing. It's another Democrat success story. They're fixing it, you know, and you should watch the statistics as they fix it, because a whole lot more people of color are going to die. That's what the Democrats are going to produce. And it's really something. This is today's Democrat Party. Another police officer ambushed, this time in Michigan. 24 shots fired at his car. He miraculously survived and wasn't even shot, but his car was shot up by multiple gunmen who ambushed a police car in Michigan, in Grand Rapids. I'll get to that. The police commissioner of New York says that the justice system is imploding. That's his word, imploding. And they're releasing people from jail. They love to release people from jail. They got this guy they released from jail, and this one's in North Carolina. Got out of jail several hours later, shot to death a 7-year-old girl. She's dead. She's black, and there will be no protest, no marches. Al Sharpton will not attend her funeral. And she will be forgotten. She's already been forgotten. The you know that racist woman at the New York Times with the 1619 Project? She's a virulent America hater and a Nobel, Pulitzer, not what's the difference? Pulitzer Prize winner for her work, which was riddled with fact errors and falsehoods and the poisonous product of her fertile imagination. An article that she wrote some time back has emerged that demonstrate that she's a virulent racist, talking about the white race being barbaric devils and no different than Hitler, all white people, because, you know, she's a virulent racist. But that's okay, because she's a Democrat and she's with the New York Times, just scratching the surface on all of this. The mob is still planning. They had a rain delay yesterday because snowflakes melt in the snow, even violent mob snowflakes. And they're still planning on attacking and tearing down the historic Abraham Lincoln Emancipation sculpture in Lincoln Park in Washington, D.C. Planning on going back today. The National Guard has been called out because the Democrats are tearing the country down. And it's really something. Bill Cosby's wife, Camille, this is kind of an amusing story, is very pleased Bill Cosby's getting an appeal. And she's very pleased because it's all based in the Pound Me Too movement. And Camille Cosby says that the Pound Me Too movement is all about racism. There is anything not. The sun came up today and it affected black people more negatively than it affected white people. This is the Democrat Party's program. Pretty amazing stuff. And I was talking the other day about how the Black Lives Matter, one of the Black Lives Matter founders, who's apparently actually white but passes himself off as black, Sean King, was planning on announcing we need to target Jesus and white Jesus, you know, and that means stained glass windows in churches and everything needs to be destroyed because the Democrat Party is on a tear. Well, there's an update on that because Christian symbols and figures are targeted already now amid ongoing protests, is today's headline. The Dixie Chicks had to change their name. Now they're just the Dixie B-Words. Just kidding. I made that up. Now, they dropped Dixie because it had something to do with the Dukes of Hazzard, I think. Dixie is a word that can't be used. So, you know, Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A. Lady A, which sounds like a medical school class or something like that. But the Dixie Chicks had to drop Dixie from their name. Now they're just the Chicks. And I'd like to object because Chicks is obviously a derogatory term used to describe young women, usually in a sexual context. And, you know, Joe Biden, hey, you know, whatever happened to that, Joe Biden jamming his hands down that woman's pants Tara Reid, she pound me too, you know, pound sand, I guess, is the message for Tara Reid. Amazing stuff. So that's just scratching the surface on some of the Democrat hijinks for today. Great stuff from Robert Johnson, the founder of BET. He is raising some cane, maybe even raising a little hell. And what he's saying now, I don't think is going to be welcome news for the Democrats. They might think it is, but they're not very bright most of the time. He is talking about creating a separate party, the Black Lives Matter Party. That should be interesting. Of course, it would split and fracture the Democrat Party, and they can't have that because the party of the Klan and the Confederacy, of course, has a lock on the black vote in America because of a profoundly corrupt news media and academia, too, for that matter. Great stuff. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, he owns the Washington Post. Their slogan is, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. And he just bought the naming rights to an arena, sports arena in Seattle, and he's got a big idea of what he's going to name it, and it's pretty funny, pretty funny. Democrats are threatening that Elizabeth Warren, if Joe Biden is elected, Elizabeth Warren, she's white. She used to be Indian, but then she became white again. And so she can't be Joe Biden's vice presidential running mate because of racism, you know. But they're saying that Elizabeth Warren, who's basically a communist, she's anti-capitalist, she's a lunatic, she's got buggy eyes like some kind of a Japanese battery-operated doll, and she's a freakazoid. And they're saying that she might become the Treasury Secretary. Her goal, presumably, would be to end capitalism as we know it. And Wall Street is not responding positively, so that's more bad news for the Democrats and more good news for Donald Trump and his re-election prospects. So just scratching the surface there on a couple of things I want to get into today. Nancy Pelosi has morphed into Yasser Arafat. Also, Joe Biden with his 120 million dead from the Wuhan Red Death. Pretty funny. I don't know if you saw this video, but he's got a black surgical mask, right, wrapped with a strap around each ear. And when he's talking to people, instead of just taking it off, because everything's about symbolism and nothing is real, he pulled the black face mask down under his chin, and it looks like he's playing Abraham Lincoln in a school play. Have you seen? He's got like a little thing under his chin. It looks like Abraham Lincoln. All right, Michael, let's take a quick one here, and we've got a lot of audio to get to, a lot of good stuff. Lots and lots of good stuff. Oh, also, the Wuhan numbers are up again because, it's a never-ending fun around here. And it's not that deaths are up or hospitalizations are up, but the testing numbers are up. And for the Democrats, that's good news because what is bad for America is good for the Democrats. The economy tanks, good for the Democrats. Job losses, good for the Democrats. Spread of the Wuhan Red Death is good for the Democrats. They apparently think that burning your city down and looting your favorite store is also good for them. And the news media tells you that it is. They're all nonviolent protests. It's all mostly peaceful. All that good stuff. Anything I can get a tattoo says mostly peaceful. See how that goes out. We'll be right back.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
World is kind of a crazy place these days. When you head out the door, face coverings are everywhere you look. You might have to wear them just to walk into a store, but not all face coverings are created equal. And we all want the best protection from dangerous particles and bacteria. A highly recommended consumer covering is the Boomer Naturals 30-day, 30-use protective face covering. Made with three layers of cloth and infused with nano-silver technology, it can reduce particles getting into your nose and mouth. It's also very comfortable, easy to breathe, and to speak, even for people with sensitive skin. skin. These are in stock now, and they ship straight to you from the Boomer U.S. warehouse. These face coverings can be used up to 30 days. Just hand wash with soap and water at the end of the day. Boomer also makes them incredibly affordable at less than 30 cents a day. Order today at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the code PLANT20 to save 20%. Get free shipping and handling when you order $50 worth. That's BoomerNaturals.com. Promo code is PLANT20 for 20% off. Your source for in-stock face coverings.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Check it out, Limu. Got a brand new motorcycle jacket and matching leather pants. Now let's go for a ride and tell everyone that Liberty Mutual customizes their motorcycle insurance. So you only pay for what you need. Oh my gosh, this leather does not breathe well. You can't suffocate in leather, can you?
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Celebrate the 4th of July from the comfort of home and save on must-haves during Kohl's Friends and Family Sale. This Thursday through Sunday, take an extra 20% off festive tops for the family, patio furniture, and get 10% off outdoor toys. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive-up. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Offers valid June 25th through 28th. 20% off with promo code FAMILYSHOP. 10% off toys, offers, and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Well, I've already made an error today. I feel like Joe Biden. Well, not quite, but I did say that in North Carolina, a man arrested for shooting and killing a 7-year-old girl 3 hours after he was released from jail. Shaquille Marshawn Francis, 26 years old, accused of firing the shot that struck Aaliyah Norris in the head, the girl inside of a car in Forest City. I said that the girl was black, and I'm wrong. The girl was white. Therefore, it will be of even less interest to CNN and to the Reverend Al. Why would the Reverend Al go to her funeral? He's a racist. He would only go to a black person's funeral, and then only if it served his political purposes and fundraising efforts. Because he's the Reverend Al, after all. Forget him not. I'm dazzled or horrified or whatever the right word is. I'll come up with it. Nancy Pelosi saying that the Republicans have to vote for her police reform bill because I don't think the street will accept no action. That means she's got her hands on the reins of the violence on the street, or at least she feels that she does, and she's articulating that. And the Washington Post dutifully publishes it, and they kind of buried it in their story. But this was just maybe the speaker would like to talk to Robert Costa and John Wagner at the Post and say really horrible things about William Barr, who's trying to get to the truth and uncover corruption, and Trump, of course. And it's just a string of quotes strung together by the Post attacking Trump and William Barr. And that's it. That's the whole story. It's one, two, three, four, five, six columns all the way across the page. And it's just a screed by Nanny Pelosi. And it's amazing at her age that she can hold together to spread that much venom. And then this Arafat line, I don't think the street will accept no action. I've talked before about this old phrase, word on the Arab street, right? Word on the Arab street. That phrase comes from the Arab world, as you might imagine, and what it means is the rumor mill, what people are saying, out when they're in restaurants and so on. And the reason they have this word on the Arab street thing going is because nobody believes their government officials when they speak, and nobody believes their media because it's corrupt. And unfortunately, we're kind of in the same place now in the United States, word on the American street. Because CNN and the Washington Post aren't actually news organizations, and our political leaders, well, for God's sake, look at what's going on there. Lots of great audio. Robert Johnson of BET, you got to hear what he has to say.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Now, there is a high school in Washington, D.C. called Woodrow Wilson High School. As you might imagine, it's named for the progressive Democrat president, Woodrow Wilson, who you may or may not know was a racist, segregationist, progressive Democrat. And the high school now is, it has been decided, will be renamed. His name will be stripped off of the high school. And they're now just trying to figure out who to name it after. Maybe Charles Manson or Richard Speck or something like that. We'll have to see. Richard Speck is a pretty obscure reference at this point. 10 D.C. education officials call for renaming Woodrow Wilson High School, you see. And the Camden to rename Woodrow Wilson High School, fighting the former president. Another Woodrow Wilson High School in Camden. Is this Camden, New Jersey? The Camden school superintendent, Katrina McComb, said the district this summer would rename Woodrow Wilson High School, with two traditional high schools, citing the segregationist views and ideas of the former president that in recent years have drastically reshaped his legacy. Well, it's always been a well-known part of his legacy, but that's okay. And, you know, George Floyd, they care very much about George Floyd, and don't forget to send a check to Planned Parenthood. But this is Philadelphia taking down Christopher Columbus, Washington, D.C. renaming Woodrow Wilson High School. And they're talking about naming it Julian Bond High School. Julian Bond, an African-American late activist and educator, as we like to say, educator, not teacher or professor. And he spent 30 years living in Washington, D.C., and now they're going to strip the name Woodrow Wilson off. And in Washington, D.C., this thing says that they want to rename it. They want to strip Woodrow Wilson's name off of it because he supported, what is it? He supported the film Birth of a Nation, D.W. Griffith's silent film, racist film. And he did show it in the White House, it's true. And he did support the KKK, it's true. I've been pointing this out for years. Woodrow Wilson is entombed in the Washington National Cathedral, the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul, an Episcopal cathedral, open to all. And since he's entombed in there, I assume they're going to have to bulldoze the cathedral or at least blow up the part where he is. Because he's entombed in there. He's going to have to be removed. Helen Keller is in there, too. I wonder if she was a racist. And Annie Sullivan, probably a racist, the Helen Keller teacher. So now they're going to rename. They're going to strip the name of Woodrow Wilson because he was a progressive Democrat. And again, the 11 statues being removed from the Capitol by Nancy Pelosi, 10 of them Democrats, including Robert E. Lee. And Democrats like to say he wasn't, but he was. He campaigned for Democrats for president and elsewhere after the Civil War. The 11th statue, no political affiliation at all. I'm sure he leaned Democrat. And then four former speakers of the House that she's having removed, the portraits removed, all Democrats. And I couldn't find a single news organization that mentioned that they were all Democrats. I'm still looking, though. And the mob is planning on tearing down the Abraham Lincoln statue today. He was, of course, assassinated by a Democrat, and the mob is here to tear that down. The Democrats in Congress, Nancy Pelosi is their fearless leader, of course, and she says, you better come around to our way of thinking, or because I don't think the street will accept no action. So she's using the violent mobs in the street in an effort to get Republicans to vote her way. I don't think it will happen, but, you know, it's just a political fight, and everything is about race with the party of the Confederacy and the Klan. And it's amazing they've cleansed themselves with the help of academia and the news media, and suddenly their history isn't their history at all. It's somebody else's history. Truly extraordinary times in which we live. The front page of the Washington Post today also has everything you need to know about the Democrats and their success. This is literally the Washington Post, it is with black voters, racism is the number one issue. With black voters in the United States of America, new poll, they take polls on this stuff. Are you black? Yes. Well, then we have a different series of questions for you. And it is racism is the biggest issue. And the Democrats on Capitol Hill are high-fiving at the news that is the biggest issue with African-American voters because, you know, the party of the Klan demands your vote. The headline is poll, colon. They love their colons. For black voters, racism is top concern. They had three reporters on this. I remember when they just had one reporter on each story, but then the richest men in the world took over. I think they're abusing the privilege. They've got three stories on police chiefs confront bias within their ranks. That's a story about race, too. Amazing stuff. This is an interesting time to be alive, and it shouldn't come as a surprise. Well, I'll leave that part of my next thought. I'll leave alone. Let's go to the telephones right now. Let's go to Jim calling from Washington, D.C. Jim, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Side note, since money's tight in the school system in D.C., they should call it Flip Wilson High School.
Flip Wilson High. Is he from Washington, D.C., though? Because we really need
a local.
That would be good. No, but he lived here for 30 years. But it would be good because Flip Wilson was like transgender, but for mockery. That would rule him out, I think, because Geraldine was mockery, and you can't have that. I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Well, sir. Okay, so in regards to Nancy Pelosi saying Republicans are trying to get away with murder, actually the murder of George Floyd, that was outrageous, and every single Republican congressman right now should be demanding on the floor her resignation, immediately demanding her resignation. That was a deflection because she didn't want to put forth Tim Scott's bill, racist. And the fact is that George Floyd was killed by a Democrat cop in a Democrat town with a Democrat police chief, with a Democrat mayor, with a Democrat city council, with a Democrat governor. And she cannot get away with that. If the Republicans from the top down do not demand her resignation vocally, not in a tweet, not in a letter, not worded nicely, not in a whisper of Mitch McConnell, then they're weak. They need to call for her resignation immediately. They need to escalate and engage and be aggressive right now, not this silence, because they look like an opposing party instead of a party that's in power.
Well, they are weak. The Republicans on Capitol Hill are weak, and they're afraid of the news media, and they're afraid of being called bad names, and they tiptoe around constantly. Now, how do you know the cop, Derek Chauvin, you're assuming he's a Democrat because everybody else is a Democrat in the city?
Absolutely, I'm assuming, but I know the city. It's a Democrat town. Everybody's in the union on the police force. You can't get anywhere unless you're part of the DFL. And the very fact that they haven't come out with the cop's political party tells you everything you need to know. Because if he was a Republican, it would be all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, the Democrat Farm Labor Party, which is a radical left party. Are you from there?
I used to live there.
And again, it is a radical party. It's a radical town. Now, since 1961, the mayor has been a Democrat, with the exception of one day. Apparently, there was a one-day interim where they had a stopgap mayor for one day who was a Republican. But otherwise, since 1961, it has been a lock for the Democrats. But it doesn't reflect negatively upon them on CNN or at the Washington Post or elsewhere. Now, if it had been a Republican-controlled jurisdiction since 1961, that would be headline news, of course. That would be big, because every news story is about Democrat power and elections, and that's what journalism has become in the United States of America, tragically, nightmarishly. Look, the Republicans are not going to step up and do any. You might get a couple. You might get, Ted Cruz. You might get a couple of people. But that's going to be it, because the Republicans always play by the Marcus of Queensbury rules while they're being beaten with chairs and saps. That's like a blackjack, a sap. I like this. Nobody uses that term anymore. But you're 100% right, of course. And look, they're promising to tear down the Lincoln statue today. They promised to tear it down yesterday, but it was a little rainy, and so they had a rain delay because they're insane. We've called out the National Guard. A big fence has been put up around the Emancipation Memorial. They don't like the concept of the art, so the violent mob is going to tear it down. Talking to my friend Luke today, Jim. And what's to keep the mob from invading the National Gallery of Art on the Mall and attacking priceless artworks? I mean, many of these, what do you think that Lincoln statue would auction off for if it were on the market today? It would be, it's historic, it's significant, it's important. It would be doubtless, in the millions of dollars. And it's public art in a public place, and the Democrat Party is sending the mob out in the street that Nancy Pelosi apparently controls based on her own quote. And what's to keep them from rushing the National Gallery of Art and destroying priceless works of art? They don't like the concept of the art. It might be medieval art. It might be Renaissance art. They could go in. It's a Christian art, where maybe there's white Jesus and Sean King of Black Lives Matter, even though his parents are white. He walks around pretending to be black, which is perfectly typical of Democrats a lot of the time. And what's to keep him from going into the National Gallery of Art and just destroying things? And how would that be different from what they're doing now?
Why not go to the Corcoran School of Art?
Right, exactly. All the museums.
Terrible things there.
Well, you got to pay to get in there. The others you can just, maybe they get some other people's money. But really amazing, amazing stuff. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yep. Well, they need to quit being weak. They need to step up. This is an opportunity to get their act together. And where the hell is Ronna McDaniel? Haven't seen her. Where's she been?
Yeah, the RNC. Yeah, Romney McDaniel, runner Romney McDaniel. And, they're just not out here fighting the fight. You know, I got to tell you, that maybe they think they're playing rope-a-dope and that the Democrats are losing votes with everything that they destroy. And they might be right, but then again, they might not be. And it might be a good idea to come out and stand up for something, anything, on principle, for protecting million-dollar public art, for standing up for civil public discourse on these matters. you can have a reasonable discussion about the Emancipation Statue, the Lincoln Statue in Lincoln Park. You can have a reasonable discussion about even, you know, Confederate statues in Oxford, Mississippi or whatever. But the violent mob thing is the left is here, and they're here to destroy. And somebody ought to be speaking up on behalf of us, is what you're saying, Jim.
We had a weak Republican Party for years and years and years. Weak. Didn't do anything until Reagan.
I lost you. I think the NSA.
Weekend.
Yeah, there you are.
Right.
Go ahead.
So it's time. It's time to push forward. The reason Trump got elected is because.
Yeah, your phone's skipping out on you, Jim. So listen, thank you for the call. Thank you for actually caring. And you're right, the Republicans, the elected Republicans, as usual, just kind of, for the most part, it's not 100% true, but for the most part, overwhelmingly, they just sit in the corner and take it and figure, well, maybe the news media will be nice to us. It's the old thing. If we just don't speak up, if we don't say anything. And when Nancy Pelosi threatens if any Republican Speaker of the House had laid down this gauntlet, as Pelosi did yesterday with her pals at the Washington Post from the Steno pool, I don't think the street will accept no action. While there were Tea Party groups out in the dozens of cities burning, sacking, looting, smashing windows, beating people, shooting people to death, I think that maybe the news media would have a slightly different take on all this. I don't want to walk out on any limbs here, but speaking of the Democrat Party, thank you, Jim. Speaking of the Democrat Party, this is just whack-a-doodle-doo. These people are completely nuts. The new face of Calvin Klein they tweeted it out, Christian Parker at Soho. Congratulations to Jari Jones, J-A-R-I Jones, a black transgender lesbian plus-sized activist and the newest face for Calvin Klein. And there is Jari Jones popping champagne. Jari was a man. Now he is a woman. It's like an old song. And, rather substantial. And this is the Democrat Party, kind of in a nutshell, you know. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. And that's not a transgender reference. Nothing comes between me and my Calvins. And here's this one wearing kind of overall shorts out on a street apparently in New York with a giant billboard allegedly of her behind her, it probably photoshopped. But there's the big announcement that the face of Calvin Klein is now a black transgender lesbian plus-sized activist. Couldn't find one in a wheelchair. What's the problem with that? Come on, guys. You're going to have to step up your game. Why not handicapped? Got to have a wheelchair thing going there. Amazing. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, the Democrats started all this cancel culture stuff, and now they're all in blackface and using the N-word and the Jimmy Kimmels and Jimmy Fallons of the world. And Megyn Kelly scratching her head saying, wait a minute, I got fired for raising a question about blackface, and now you're not firing all your people that actually do blackface and use the N-word and all this stuff. Megyn Kelly's got a point. And the story in Newsweek today is conservatives weaponize cancel culture to tame anti-Trump celebrities. Is that what's happening? Boy, the propaganda apparatus of the Democrat Party is boundless. Their boy Goebbels is laughing from hell, saying, boy, if I had a machine like that, what greater Germania would still be ruling supreme. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Julie Morgenstern, internationally renowned expert and best-selling author on time management, productivity, and organizing. Daily routines can play a big part in fueling productivity. Get a good night's sleep, exercise, take care of your body. Adding Metamucil sugar-free orange smooth powder to your daily fiber routine traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. It even helps lower your cholesterol and supports healthy blood sugar levels. Feel more energized to be productive and do what you love. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
Rainbow,
and Doug.
Check it out, Limu. Got a brand new motorcycle jacket and matching leather pants. Now let's go for a ride and tell everyone that Liberty Mutual customizes their motorcycle insurance. So you only pay for what you need. Oh, my gosh, this leather does not breathe well. You can't suffocate in leather, can you?
Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Newsmax calls it the most important book of the 2020 election. Mike Huckabee says it's President Trump's playbook for victory. Mark Levin calls it indispensable for every conservative. Sean Spicer warns Trump critics it could ruin your day. And Donald Trump Jr. is telling everyone to read it. The new book is David Horowitz's Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. In Blitz, David Horowitz reveals President Trump's secret plan for victory and rips the lid off the secret agendas of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and those out to stop him. You need to get Blitz. Everyone is talking about it. You've seen David Horowitz on Fox News, CNN, and Newsmax TV. Now, Blitz is already a number one Amazon bestseller. Find it in bookstores everywhere, or check out the free offer and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to blitz411.com. Blitz411.com. Get Blitz today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
America's schools are closing, which can be especially tough on students who struggle with poverty, hunger, and trauma. But communities and schools can help. Our organization puts caring adults inside schools to help vulnerable students stay in school. Now, in the face of crisis, we're working beyond school walls, delivering meals to students, helping them access remote learning, doing whatever it takes to help them succeed. To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Thank you, America. Staying home isn't as easy as it looks. It's hard missing out on family gatherings, graduations, and weddings. For many, staying home has meant job loss and financial hardship. Infectious diseases experts are fighting COVID-19 in hospitals, public health departments, and laboratories across the country. When you stay home, you're helping us win this fight so we can emerge strong and healthy together again. Sponsored by the Infectious Diseases Society of America Foundation at IDSAFoundation.org.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
By the way, because our network of fact checkers, real fact checkers, is everywhere. Derek Chauvin is not a registered Democrat, and our friend Jim did say he was just assuming. He is, in fact, a registered Republican in Florida. In Florida? Yeah, in Florida.
That's kind of unusual. The whole city is Democrat. Everything about it is Democrat. Everybody knows that. No getting away from it. Also, Julian Bond in Washington, D.C., they're talking about renaming Woodrow Wilson High School Julian Bond High School. We should really just tear down the high school. There should be no more high school and no more education because, you know, what we're seeing in the streets, all the violence and stuff, that's actually that's the fruit of our educational system right there. We got these lunatics marched into a restaurant in Washington, D.C., I guess it was yesterday. A mob marched into a restaurant to chant a bunch of crazy stuff. But first let me get, and we have the audio of that. First let me get to this Julian Bond story my friend Pat sent along. From 1987, Julian Bond's promising political career was scuttled because of drug charges that were, they came from his wife while Julian Bond was out cheating on his wife with a woman who was apparently his cocaine dealer, and Julian Bond was running for Congress in a primary against, of all people, John Lewis, the civil rights icon, and the wife, the now former, long time since former wife, Alice Bond, told the police that Julian Bond had a cocaine problem, and since 1983, this was 1987, and that when Alice Bond went to confront her husband about the cocaine addiction, she was assaulted by Julian Bond's girlfriend slash cocaine dealer. So I think that's probably the perfect pick when it comes to renaming the Woodrow Wilson High School. And isn't it amazing how everything they strip the name off of is a Democrat because they're racists, and the history of racism in America from 1861 forward is the history of the Democratic Party. You know, check every box everywhere you look. It is, it's extraordinary. So there's Julian Bond, and that's in Washington, D.C., you know, the coke addicted, cheating, catting around. Carmen Lopez, who was named by Julian Bond's wife at the time as her husband's girlfriend and drug supplier, assaulted her during a confrontation. She posted Bond, as I say that with no irony. There it is. That's your Democrat Party. And they're tearing everything down because they really don't like anything, and they're angry about everything, and they hate everybody, and they sure hate America, and they're angry with history. And there's nothing about this place they like, and they want to tear it down. And honestly, what we're seeing in the streets, this is the product of our university system, of the academy, as we like to call it, of academia, and of our high school and grammar school education system. Again, with the audio that we've played in the past of the teachers' union leaders talking about infusing grammar school curricula with Marxist theory, even though it's not in the books. Well, their hard work is paying off.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.